The voice of reason, James Whale on Talk Radio.
I don't want to be, you know, appear completely hypocritical on this, but I lived in Madrid for 10 years and I attended bullfights out of curiosity. I went many years ago.
You've blown it right at the end of the interview.
No.
Well, I then saw the light, and I did it more out of research and to write about it.
But, Tim, disappointing.
We have to finish. Not because you went to a bullfight, because we've run out of time. Tim, thank you very much.
You could have carried on. I could have kept quiet, but
you know, I can't believe we went to a bull at the end of that, and you just come.
Well,
there
we are. It is pretty disgusting. You know, it's like wanting to bring bear baiting back into the city of London, where they used to. You know,
a bear would fight another bear.
Anyway, I do like it
when they make chickens dance on hot plates. That is funny.
Boxing is a terrible thing.
Boxing kangaroos, they love it.
Well, no, it's a fat bloke.
They cheat though, because kangaroos put their arms around and then kick you. They cheat. They don't know.
They don't follow the rules. No. But then neither do wrestlers, Ash. I don't know if you've seen the wrestling match.
Ash and I were going to do a tag team together many years ago.
Is that like daisy chaining?
Yeah, exactly. We'll be back 7 o'clock tomorrow. Here's Ian Lee.
Very messy.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
California, boy, with them.
حکیم از سوری آرولا لبرومی کل که رو ده میر کنشن میشم پاس و مشتم مشیرم پیش ها برا جاگنیشتتم هفت گرسه بی بارو هره کیش از بلن West Philadelphia, ma mentem fel az utcán tekerektem, mert a tuti hely csavarogtuk persze, de nem voltam ám néha kosarasszunk a télen a sulinál, néha tuti haveri banda minden hegyse kapató verekedésben nem volt senki hozzánk fogható behúztam én is a srácnak és a muterberezett
fiam, csak ezt már a Marhinosa irány beler
én kértem és könyörögtem muterbe csinált, de ő becsomagolt a kopperem s az ajtó nyitva állt csak hogy nyomott homlokomra sátatta a jegyet föltettem a bokbenem és azt mondtam hát legyen, csúcs jó az italom, bedelem a csajokat eszelni, jaj, úgy szeretem, milyen dögös nőcik várnak Belerben, ékás, ez ám a tréfás, begorul a taxi és a rendszám helyett azt látom, ifjú, hát te csak én lehetek, fura ez a tragasó, de két érdekel, lép bele a gázpedálba, irány Beler!
Here we go, dear listener.
Végre berobogunk oda, hol a rokonok élnek. Fizetem a taxit, de nincs szaga a pénzek. Csodatóti kérő ideje már éppen, hogy belerítjú herceg a trónjára lépjen.
03444991000 is the telephone number. Oh, yes. Etc., etc., etc. You get the idea. It's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in a different language. It's as simple as that. Late Night Alternative. My name is Ian Lee. Good evening and welcome. Catherine is out there somewhere. I fear she comes. Here she comes now singing Monet, Monet. There we go. It's Catherine's birthday. She's 53 years old today. And what a wonderful, wonderful job you did while I was away.
Yeah.
I'm back. I was in Rome for a week with my children. And I'm going to be honest, it was too hot. It was too hot. Can you just talk while I adjust? Go.
Yeah. It was too hot for him. I warned him that it would be. I told him that people who live in Rome don't stay in Rome over the August to September period. But would he listen to me? Of course he wouldn't listen to me because I know stuff. And so he will never accept that sometimes I know more stuff than he does, more useful stuff than he does, stuff that's not necessarily about, I don't know, dead pop stars and all that sort of stuff, you know, that kind of knowledge that he doesn't respect. Anyway, 03444991000 remains the number, although of course now standards will slip.
Everything I know about dead pop stars is important, is relevant, and is useful.
Yeah.
When I'm not standing near the microphone, that's kind of when I would like you to keep on.
Well, why do you keep jumping up and down?
Because I'm trying to get you in shot.
Well, what for? They're not going to show me. They're not going to show me. It only shows everyone else up, especially now at my advanced years.
Just keep talking.
Hello, yes, yes.
Oh, who cares if you're in the shot or not?
No one's going to show it. They're not going to show it.
Here's the thing about Rome. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. It's a bit meh.
It's a bit boring, Rome. It's
what, the cradle of civilization?
It was, no, it's not actually, it's the Greeks.
Well, they would argue that, yeah.
Well, no, they would argue it. The Romans stole everything they know from the Greeks.
Yeah, made it better.
Yeah, they improved on it, definitely. Yeah, yeah, but well, but then it can't be the cradle of civilization.
All right, it's the
It's like the Dr. Raj Persaud of civilization.
Oh my!
Steals other people's ideas and makes them improves on them.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Well.
But Rome, I'm gonna be honest, it was too hot. It was like 34, 35. I don't know what that. I don't even know what that means because I don't know new money. I only know old money, right? So I don't, but I know it's hot.
Yeah, one minute.
You'd come out at 10 o'clock in the morning and you just think, oh God, I've got a day of this. So I went to Rome with my boys. We stayed in a nice Airbnb, although it had cockroaches, which you're telling me is like normal in Rome.
Classic.
It's disgusting. We're in Italy, and we had pizza. And then we had some left over, so we brought it home. And then I went into the kitchen 10 minutes later to get some, open the box full of cockroaches. You're telling me that's normal? You're telling me that's how a civilized country lives?
That's excessive.
That's disgusting.
But you might see the odd one.
I have to, well, I mean, I say full. There were like five in there. Is that a lot?
That's not full.
I have to write a review of the guy for Airbnb.
Just added crunch.
Do I mark him down 4 out of 5 for hygiene? This is, you can answer this question, by the way, dear listener, because Catherine, I suspect, is not going to give me a straight answer. 03444991000. First dilemma.
Did you tell the man?
Please let me ask the question. First dilemma. I'm being nice to people as well, by the way.
Apart from me.
Just not Kath. First dilemma. Do I write in the review of the place? I mean, if this was
four in a bed, right down, yeah.
I would be paying like £50 less than the asking price. But do I write in the review? Do I give 4 out of 5 and say, oh, there were some cockroaches in the kitchen that ruined some leftover food? I feel I have to share that with people. Yeah. We're going to write the review live on the air tonight, guys. You can be part of it. I feel I have to share because I was so surprised when I walked into the kitchen and turned on the light and there were cockroaches scuttling around.
Right.
And it was pizza that got ruined and probably a packet of crisps that we had, biscuits, cookies that were open.
Cookies. Did you tell the man about the cockroaches or will this be the first he's heard of it?
Well, this will be the first he's heard of it from me, but okay. I suspect he would have known.
Well, you don't know that.
Well,
it might have just happened.
Oh, come on.
Might have followed you in.
I don't think they did just follow me. They didn't follow me.
She's
in.
Not here.
So first of all, do I mark the guy down for the, and we abbreviate them to roaches. We don't abbreviate them to cocks.
No, confusion.
Cocks all over my pizza.
Five.
Cocks. I opened a box and there
spoiled
were five
by cocks.
There. I went.
Cocks rendered my pizza inedible.
I turned the light on in the kitchen. I saw all these cocks scuttling away under the fridge. We don't do that, do we?
No, there's good reason.
I don't know if there is good reason. I'm not convinced the reason is that.
Well, because
good.
It's the cock form of the roach. It's a cockroach. It's not a.
Ah, so it's related to the cockerel.
Well, it's the cock of the roach family,
okay.
Yes.
We're getting somewhere. The cock of the walk. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jake. Good evening, Jake.
Hello.
Hello, Jake. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you on board. What can we do for you this evening?
I just want to say, like, don't give him a 4 out of 5. Give him a 2. That's disgusting.
Oh,
hard mark.
Me likey Jake's style. Did you say a 2, Jake?
Yeah, give that scumbag a 2, man.
I mean, there weren't hundreds of cocks everywhere. Roaches, excuse me.
You don't want cocks on your food, though, do you? Whether you're going to go back to it or whether you finish with it.
You don't. The pizza was cheesy enough as it was.
Exactly.
You don't, but, I don't know, right? It was an Airbnb, it was an apartment, it was an old Roman, building. Not that, you know, not like 2,000 years old. But, are cockroaches, normal in that environment, Jake?
I don't know. I've never been, but surely there's got to be some sort of pest control. I mean, my missus is from Hong Kong. She says they fly over there, so. What? So yeah, that's it.
Who flies over there?
The cockroaches.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, and they're massive apparently.
So. Hey, it's all kicking off in Hong Kong again, isn't it?
I know, yes. Bloody, no, I don't want to say anything.
Say it. Say it, because I'm thinking it as well. There's going to be dead people soon.
Oh, yeah.
The Chinese are starting to get... The Chinese are being very patient for the Chinese government when I went away. And then I came back... I've not listened to any news while I was away. And I came back today, or came back the weekend. The Chinese are now starting to get a little bit impatient with them.
It's because they've got tiny cockroaches.
Thank you very much indeed, Jake. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. He says 2 out of 5. That seems harsh. That seems very harsh to me. We're going to write the review live on air tonight, guys. Let's go to Ian. Good evening, Ian.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Ian. Hello, Ian. Ooh, spooky. Hello, Ian.
Hi, pal. How are you doing?
I am going to, on October the 31st, I'm going to rent a theatre, and I'm going to put on a show called Hello, Ian, and it's going to be my spooky stories, and they're all going to be true. Sorry?
Will it be near Dundee?
It will be nowhere near Dundee, I'm afraid.
It won't be anywhere near.
Unfortunately, it will not be near Dundee. No, it will not be near Dundee for reasons I'm unable to go into, but let's just say illegal.
Okay. Fair enough. Listen, Ian, there's two things. There was a funny thing I was wanting to say, and there's a serious thing I want to say as well.
Okay.
I'm struggling a wee bit just now because my mum died back in June. Just before our 72nd.
Mate, I'm sorry to hear that.
My little brother committed suicide 2 weeks ago.
Ian, mate.
I know. I don't want to bring the show down.
No, don't worry about bringing the show down, but bless you.
You know what it is, Ian? It's listening to your show that's got me through this, and listening to Kath last week was really nice. It's just a wee bit difficult. You know what I mean? It's only me and my dad now, and you know, my brother was only 43, and he hung himself, and it was just, I should have been going to see him on the Thursday, but his girlfriend found him
behind the door.
So it's, you know what I mean, it's just been a wee bit difficult.
Well, there's the understatement of the year, yeah, Ian, a wee bit difficult, really, bless you.
To lose, for me, it was my mum, my brother and me, and now it's just me. You know, my dad always divorced my mum back in 1989, I think it was. Yeah, so it was just me, my mum, and David, my brother, sorry. And it's all of a sudden, it's like you're suddenly on your own, and it's all. I don't know. I don't know what I really want to say, but if anybody else is going through this kind of thing, if people could just maybe speak to somebody about it. I've been dealing with it myself, and just kind of, because my dad's not too well either, so there's just so much to have to sort out.
The business side, yeah, the forms when someone passes, my God, a nightmare.
Solicitors, and it's just like, it goes from your life's happy and your life's great, and then all of a sudden, in a matter of like basically 4 or 5 weeks, it's gone from everything's perfect to, God, what the hell do I do? That's a strange one, Ian, you know.
Can I ask you a question, Ian?
Yeah, of course you can, yeah.
And I've noticed this, when people phone up who've been through something horrific quite recently, as you have, they quite often phone up and they will say something like, to anybody who's listening and going through this, make sure you speak to someone, which you said. And then they'll also say the thing you said straight after, I've been doing this on my own.
Yeah.
So can I ask, if it's not too insensitive,
why are
you not listening to your own advice?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? No, but it is, Ian. I've always been a person that just, I keep myself to myself. You know, I don't want to impose on people. So, all through my life I've done that. I've never really wanted to impose on people. And I don't know why I phoned you tonight.
Where's the imposition? And by the way, I'm not having a go at you. What you just said is just chime with something I saw on Twitter last week that I must remember to say. Where's the imposition in asking for help after you've been through the death of two very close family members?
Yeah. You know what it is? when my mum died, it was quite suddenly, and my little brother, he'd finished his work, he'd come home, and he found her, and he thought she was just sleeping in her chair, but she'd passed away, and he had to, he tried to resuscitate her, he got the paramedics, and he had to watch for 45 minutes, try to revive her, and she was already gone. Now, know what it is, Ian? It was a big funeral, it was a burial. My little brother never got over it. He never got over that. And know what it was? I felt that it hurt me more to see my little brother suffering than it even was my mum dying. You know, I my heart broke for my little brother. If that makes any sense.
No, of course it does.
My heart broke for my little brother because I saw how much pain he was going through. It wasn't so much that I got over mum's death. I think it was, I came to terms with mum's death maybe 2 to 3 weeks down the line, but a little brother didn't. And I saw my little brother on the Tuesday and he was found dead on the Thursday. And I just, I kept screwing myself up about it in my head. So, God, if I just stayed on the Tuesday night and,
I know, but that's nonsense. Because if you'd have stayed that night, then he might have done it the next day. Someone's determined.
That's what I keep telling myself. Ian.
You have no responsibility or blame or fault for your brother's passing.
I know.
But,
I mean,
I don't know who to suggest you talk to, but, and I'm glad you're talking to us. Man, I'm glad you're talking to us, but that's a lot to carry. And you said your dad is poorly as well. That's a lot to carry.
The thing is, my dad's wife's in hospital. She's got cancer just now and she's kind of up and down. And my dad's got to go to the hospital every day to see her. And it's weary on him. He said to me a couple of days ago, he goes, I'm mentally strained at the moment. And my dad's 75, and it's just, my little brother was only 43, I'm 50, and I don't know, it's just horrible, and it's, we're struggling a little bit.
I love your understatements, Ian. I really do.
It's just nice even to be able to talk to you about it. Just to be able to speak to somebody. I don't want to bring the show down.
Forget the show. Who cares about the show? I've had some real revelations about life and the show over the past week. So don't you worry about that.
Oh, I know, pal.
I've got some nonsense to change the gears after this. So don't you worry. I'm worried about you, man.
No, I'm okay. Honestly, I'm okay, Ian. I just had to get it off my chest.
Good.
It's just, you know, I just need to, even just to say it out loud.
Yeah.
There's something about just saying it out loud, and that's that little bit. Because when my mum died, I remember I constantly was waking up in the morning, my heart was just absolutely going. It was like palpitating. But the thing is, mum was 71, but my brother was only 40.
He's a baby. Yeah.
You know, and he was my little brother. He was my best friend. And, you know, I'm still waking up in the mornings, my heart's racing, you know. It's just a bit difficult.
Ian, at the end of this call, when you put the phone down, this may not be appropriate for you, but I'm going to give out the phone number for the Samaritans, who are great to talk to. They may be appropriate for you, may not be, but there might be someone listening who they would be appropriate for. So get a pen and paper, guys. It's a really simple number. I invite you to call back anytime you want. Never, and this is to everyone, never worry about bringing the show down or changing the vibe of the show. That's my problem. And I've always got something I can flip it on the other side. So never worry about that. Your health, Ian, is more important than this rubbish, all right?
Thanks very much, Ian.
Give us a call again soon, mate.
I tell you what, your show keeps me going. I love listening to it.
Thank you, man. And your calls keep the show going. So keep speaking to us, all right?
Okay, pal.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 116-123 is the Samaritan's number. It might be appropriate for Ian, it might not be, but there could be someone listening to this going, oh man, maybe talking is the key, but I haven't got the cojones to phone up the radio or no desire to phone up the radio and I don't want to burden my friends. 116 1-800-222-123 if you want to call the Samaritans. If you do want to call us, 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Moonlit musings from mums, madams, and meat packers.
Oh, never mind, I must have misheard.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
This station's brilliant.
On Talk Radio.
Okay, so John says, Roaches in Rome, unless they sang to you in Italian and were as good as Pavarotti, the score is 1 out of 5. This is the review we're going to write for Airbnb. No messing. Old Roman buildings do not all have old Roman roaches who like pizza. 1 out of 5. That seems harsh.
I mean, no. 1 out of 5 is Indiana Jones, like walking in the kitchen and crunching.
Okay.
I think pizza-loving roaches... it's just a bit of a cheeky fun.
It's cheeky fun. here's the thing. I had such a good time with my boys. We went to Rome for a week. And we did gladiator training. I cannot recommend the gladiator training enough. Oh, man, it was fun. It was fun. And I was the only pair. Oh, there was me. And there was this big, muscular Swedish guy. And his kid got sick or something, so didn't do it. So my boys, and then there was an American family, the mum and a dad and 3 kids, right? But the American family didn't do the training. I was totally up for the training, right? So we were wearing these robes and we're learning sword fighting moves and stuff. And then we go into the arena and I don't quite know how, but ended up with these 3 American kids v me. And they're beating the crap out of me. but we had so much fun doing that. Then we went to...
Did he throw the net on them and, like, stab them and stuff?
They didn't throw the net. They didn't get the net out. But then we went that same time. Oh, that was on the Wednesday, I think. The Friday night, we went back to this place, a bit out of town, to go and see a gladiator show, right? And it was brilliant. It was really, really brilliant. And I'm sat next to an English guy. And we got to decide if the gladiators were killed or saved, right? And so I'm going, kill him! Kill him! And this English guy's going, come on, there's been too much killing. I said, no, never, never. And we got chatting.
Did you not utter the immortal, are you not entertained?
I tell you what I did do, right? At the beginning of this, you go into the museum, right? And you get a little talk. And I got to wear a replica of Spartacus's helmet. And so I put it on, and of course I said,
I'm Spartacus.
Yeah! No one else joined in!
Idiots!
No, there were all these people. All it would have taken is one to go, I'm Spartacus! No one joined in! No one joined in!
They just let you be Spartacus.
I couldn't believe it, man. I've not even seen the film and I know that bit. No one joined in. Anyway, so we're watching this show. And afterwards, we went for a taxi and I got talking to this English guy. And he said, you really scared me with that thing on Twitter the other week. I went, oh, you said the thing where you apologized and all of that. I said, oh, do you listen to the show then? He said, no, I don't. Not very often, but, quite often I'm a guest on Julia's show. What are the chances? And then he said, and I didn't make the connection until I got in the cab. I said, oh, what do you do? He said, I'm a journalist. And the last thing he said was, I wrote a book recently about Michael Gove. And I went, oh, that's great. And then the cab came and we got in the cab. And then I sat in the cab and thought, oh, the cocaine Michael Gove book. That guy's a legend. I think his name, was it Owen Paterson? Was that his name?
That rings a bell.
But what are the chances of being in a gladiator show in Rome and the guy next to you has also been on this tin pot radio station that no one's ever heard of? He's actually been on the station. What was his...
Owen Bennett.
Owen Bennett. That was it. Owen Bennett. Well, Owen, if you're listening, and I know you're not, it was a pleasure to meet you. And I'm really sorry. It was late. It was hot. I had the boys. I got called up at one point and the gladiators were threatening to cut my ears off and my boys agreed that they should. It was a stressful evening. So, Owen, I'm sorry I didn't chat more, but it was really nice. But what are the chances? No one's even heard of this radio station. I'm sat next to someone who's been on it. So we did that. We did a cookery class, which was great. I know how to make gelato. It's easy. I'm going to be making some this weekend. It's easy. And the boys loved it. And we made pizza and it was incredible. And we were with this family from Chicago, Illinois. And we're hanging out with them. But Rome. Nah.
So what?
It's done.
You didn't like the Trevi Fountain?
Didn't see it.
What about the Spanish Steps?
Didn't go there.
Colosseum?
Yes. Now, the first time you go, 0344-499-1000, Alan, I'll come to you in a minute. First time you go past the Colosseum, the Colosseum was a 10-minute walk from us, and you came out of our street and turned right, oh, look, lads, it's the Colosseum. And we got one of those open-top tour buses, and we, oh, look, flipping it, it's the Colosseum, it's the actual Colosseum. And I booked for us to go in the Colosseum on Thursday evening, 5 o'clock, when it'd be cooler, because it was hot. It was too hot. And there'd be less people. So we got to the Colosseum, and I had a little bit of argy-bargy getting in, because I'd bought a pre-booked ticket, which meant you could jump the queue, but actually it just took you to another queue. And I had been told you didn't need tickets for kids, right? So I got there, and the first guard said, where's your tickets for kids? I said, there's 7 and 9. Oh, yeah, you don't need ticket. In you go. Said, right. So then we're queuing up. Then we go through security. I mean, really, who's going to bomb the Colosseum, really? Yeah. Then we have to queue up to scan your thing. And we queued up and we queued up and we queued up and we got to the front of the queue. And she went, where's your tickets for the kids? I don't need them. They're 7 and 9. Yeah, you do. I said, no, I don't. Yeah, you do. I said, I've been told I don't need a ticket. She goes, yeah, you need a pass to get them in. I said, right, how much is that? She said, it's free, but you've got to go back there. Okay, fine. So I went back to get the pass to get them in the Colosseum, and the guy said, okay, not a problem, that's free, that's €4. I went, what? He said, it's free, so that'll be €4.
What?
Two each. I said, right. And it's £4, it's a pound to the euro now, or it was, isn't it? I'm gonna kill you, Simon Scott, you piece of shit!
What?
Who's this Simon Scott scumbag? Find Sir Ian Mental. Turns you off after 2 minutes. Cass, great. You're absolutely crap. Well, I'm going to find you, Simon Scott, on Twitter. What's your handle? I'm going to find you. I'm going to track down your IP address. And I am going to find you. And I am going to destroy you. You've got pictures of boats. Right. Simon Scott, pictures of boats. I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. So.
Seems like quite a reasonable man.
He's a scumbag. He's a piece of trash and I'm going to destroy him. So, 0344-499-1000. So, I ended up with me going, it's not free, is it? Yeah, it's free. It's €4. I said, well, €4 isn't free. Anyway, we got in, and I walked in and went, whoa, it's the Colosseum. And after about 10 minutes, I was bored out of my brain. It was boring. It's impressive. It's a lot of scaffolding. It'll be great when it's finished. It was boring. And because during our little afternoon siestas, we watched Jaws before we left. We watched Jaws 2 one day, Jaws 3 next day, Jaws 4 the day after that, and then we watched Sharknado, right? My kids are really obsessed with shark films at the moment. So we're walking around the Colosseum, and the whole time the boys are arguing how the Jaws theme goes and whether Sharknado could actually happen. Now, I don't know if you've seen the movie Sharknado. It was such bad special effects that my eyes couldn't even work out. I couldn't even see it because it's like really cheap CGI. It was just so bad my eyes couldn't adjust to the gloom. But the premise of Sharknado is there's a giant tornado.
Yeah.
That sucks up like hundreds of sharks and then fires them off into, I think it's Los Angeles. It must be because a guy gets killed. The tornado whips up the Hollywood sign and a guy gets killed by one of the letters in Hollywood. And then it fires these sharks off into the street and they eat people.
How could they? They'd probably just land badly and hurt themselves.
No. There's like water everywhere. It's flooded and stuff like that.
Oh, right. So they're going along the streets swimming.
Yeah, they're going along the streets, going like Rodeo Drive swimming and stuff. And so my boys are arguing whether Sharknado could actually happen.
Yes.
And they're singing Jaws going, da-da, da-da, da-da. I'm going, that's not how.
The opposite of how it goes.
Exactly. And, I thought the Colosseum was rubbish, actually. I thought it was rubbish. Yes, all right, it's nearly 2,000 years old. Yes, it took 20 years to build. There's no floor there. Sure, it was great. You know when they put the thumbs down to kill them? That's not how they do it. It will be an open palm. And they didn't do a thumbs up to save them. The thumb would be in the hand like that. So that's all nonsense. It was boring. I didn't go to see the Sistine Chapel. I didn't go and visit the Pope. It was boring. And I think I am done travelling.
Done roaming. So you should call your house.
Okay. Standards have slipped while I've been away. I'm going to raise them again. We're not going to allow jokes like that. I'm done travelling. I'm bored of it. I'm bored of it. On the third day, I was thinking, oh, I really want to go home now, sleep in my bed and eat my food and not have cockroaches running around. And I think I'm done. If I can't be impressed by the Colosseum, and if I'm in the same city as the Sistine Chapel and I can't be bothered to go, right? Couldn't be bothered to go, right? What's the point?
It was too hot, though.
It was too hot. Day four, we're eating in McDonald's. We're eating in McDonald's in Rome. Best meal all week. There's no point in travelling. Honestly, it's done. Absolutely, I'm finished. Never going anywhere ever again. That's it. 0344-499-1000. I need your help writing a review for Airbnb. There were cockroaches running around the kitchen. Do I give it a 4 out of 5? Do I give it a 2? Do I give it a 1? Like someone has suggested. Want to know the first horror film you've ever seen? Just because people are talking about horror films on Twitter for some reason. I don't quite know why, but we'll talk about that. Anything else you fancy as well? 0344-499-1000. The Late Night Alternative. Weeknights from 10 with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Unmissable Late Night Radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So our friend Catherine Paul Scoynes has sent me two messages, one publicly and one privately. I'm guessing I can read both of them.
Well, why would he send it privately otherwise?
Exactly. So Paul Scoynes, who I used to work with. So I've asked on Twitter the first horror film you saw, right? And he wrote The Thing, which is a great film, by the way. I was at my mate's house aged about 8 or 9 having a sleepover, and his brother made us all watch it. I hid behind the sofa and had to call my folks to take me home. I suspect it is the way I am about horror films now, most of my behaviour in life. Right? But then he sent me a private message. Right? It says, did I ever tell you the story about me going to see 28 Days Later in Milton Keynes on the late showing and then coming out of the cinema at about 2 a.m. and there being nobody around and me only being able to hear police sirens and literally not sleeping for 2 weeks? Because that absolutely happened. That's how bad I am with horror films. I was listening. There's a podcast I've been listening to, and it's, I quite like it. Although I invited them on the show and they didn't reply, so they're scumbags as far as I'm concerned. How did that get played? And I'm a little bit tired of podcasts that talk about how crap things are. There was one I listened to for a while called How Did That Get Made? And it just took the pee out of bad films. It's an easy one to do, and I get why people like it. But and this is about bad video games. And I'm enjoying listening to it. But I kind of think, let's celebrate stuff. Anyway. And I can't remember the names of the people that host it. But the woman that hosts it, they're both comedians and writers, and they're really funny people, actually. But the one I was listening to today was telling a really horrible story about horror films. And she said that when she was in kindergarten, so that's like nursery, that's like 4 or 5 years old.
Play school, yeah.
She said, this is horrible. There's no joke to this. This is horrible. She said that when she was in kindergarten, when it was nap time, the carers, the work, wherever they were, would show horror films.
What?
Like Chainsaw Massacre horror films to the kids. To scare them.
No.
Yeah. And what's interesting, because they were, maybe this is where I got it. It seems to be in the zeitgeist at the moment. What was the first horror film you saw? And she said, oh, it was such and such a film. And then she came back a few minutes later and said, actually, that's not true. And I'm going to say something. And if it's not appropriate, we'll cut it out. And then she told that story with a bit of shame to it. And that's one of the most remarkable things I've ever heard in my life. Like proper, you know, what do they call it? Torture porn horror films to 4 and 5 year olds. And she said it got closed down a few years later. And you know, that's insane. That's messed up on a level I can't even begin to comprehend.
Yeah. That's being run by actual sadists.
That's abuse. That's child abuse.
Yeah, it is.
Weird, isn't it? Anyway, it's quite a nice podcast. How Did That Get Played? I certainly recommend it. Tweet them, actually. HDTGP pod podcast or something, and ask them to come on my show because I'd like to get them on. Good evening, Alan.
I'm Spartacus.
Well done, Alan, at last. What a wasted opportunity that was.
Absolute
for
idiot.
Everybody.
That is one of the classic call and responses, along with, we are all individuals.
Don't know that one.
You need one that says, I'm not.
It was
too hot. I had a good time with the boys, but,
Too many cockroaches.
I'm never gonna go abroad ever again as long as I live. I'm done with it. The Coliseum was meh. People calling me out on Twitter for it. It was meh. Hey, scumbags, don't call me out because I didn't like something that we are told we had to like. I was impressed. It was a big building, but it was meh. And here's another phone in. Lowbrow things you've done, and I did this on Twitter and we got a lot of response. Lowbrow in highbrow places. Like I said, we were in Rome. We could have gone to the Vatican. We could have gone and seen the Sistine Chapel. We could have gone and sat on the Spanish steps and got arrested by the police. Instead, we chose to watch Jaws 3 and Jaws 4. What have you done lowbrow in highbrow places? 03444991000. Go on, Kath.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember when we were in Havana on honeymoon, we watched Mythbusters.
There you go. You see, absolutely perfect. And by the way, Jaws 4 is significantly better than Jaws 3.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's the revenge one, right? Where Jaws' mum's quite cross.
Jaws' mum follows Brody's wife to the Bahamas, and Brody's wife has a psychic connection to the shark. Whenever the shark comes out of the water, she sort of freezes, and Michael Caine goes, "Here, girl, what's wrong?" Nothing's wrong. And it's quite funny.
Even with that, it's still better than the one before.
Oh, Jaws 3 is awful because it's done in... Jaws 3, by the way, isn't canon. Jaws 4, people have died in Jaws 3 that are back in Jaws 4. Jaws 4 isn't canon, okay? But Jaws 3 is 3D, but except it's not 3D now. So there's lots of stuff coming towards the screen. And it's set at like an underwater theme park, and the shark gets into the underwater theme park. It's terrible. Then at the end, there's a weird shot with Dennis Quaid and the lady, like in a boat or something. And then these two I'm going to find it and show it to you during the news, Kath. These two dolphins, who are sort of like the heroes of the film, jump out to frame the screen, except they're not jumping out. It's like someone's got two pictures of dolphins on a bit of string and is sort of pulling them up. It's the weird. If anyone can find that, there must be a gif of that and tweet me or Kath. I would love it because that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Anyway, Alan, what can we do for you?
First horror film I ever saw.
Excuse me?
First horror film I ever saw.
Yes?
The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
Okie dokie, now that's a movie.
Well, I was 6 years old when I saw it.
Oy, oy. Well, I mean, is it a horror film?
It was dubbed as a horror, but it was more like a sci-fi rip-off.
Why was it a sci-fi rip-off?
Because they only made the original back in the 1950s.
I don't think you could call it a rip-off.
A reboot, perhaps.
A reboot.
But it didn't stick to the original plotline of the 50s film.
Well,
a reimagining.
I don't really remember. But of course, we, Catherine and I were very, very lucky to spend some time with the great man himself, the Fly, Mr. Jeffrey Goldblum. And we actually asked Jeff what his memories were of the Fly, and this is what he said. So he obviously enjoyed it.
Loved it.
Yeah, and he went on to do Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I know who Jeff Goldblum is!
What did he say about Jurassic Park, Ian?
Grab pussy!
Kick off your slippers. Don't go to bed. The party's just starting.
You can sleep when you're David. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Your first horror films? My first one? Well, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I remember my dad getting a pirate copy of it on Betamax, and I would have been about 8 years old. And I remember saying, oh, can I watch it? And my parents both got quite angry and said, no way. So instantly I'm interested in it. And it's a film that I've kind of been not obsessed with, but I was obsessed with it for a while, actually, in my 20s. Again, it was still illegal, so you had to buy a bootleg copy of it in Camden, and I can't watch it now on DVD because the quality is too good. It's, to me, it's got to be done on a really bad fifth-generation copy. Anyway, and I remember I went to bed, and they watched the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Have you ever seen it, Catherine?
No, I don't think I have.
Some movie. I mean, it really is... It's a masterpiece of the slasher genre. It's something else. I mean, it's sloppy and it's cheap, but it's something else. It's something else. And the last 25 minutes is all screaming. It's all screaming. It's a guy called Leatherface, who is this brain-damaged son of this cannibal family. And
he didn't really stand a chance, did he?
No. And his face is called Leatherface because he wears, like, the face that's been chopped off of someone. He wears it as a mask.
Oh, blimey.
And he has a butcher's apron, and he's the guy with the chainsaw.
I know what he looks like because I've been chased by him.
Sorry?
Yeah.
When?
What? I went in this, like, haunted house thing in Spain.
Jesus.
I went in it twice, like, 2 years apart, and I knew what was coming the second time, and I still went in, even though I begged, please let me off, I don't want to go in. And you go through various scenarios, so... You first go in and it's sort of, you have a monk who lets you in and says, don't touch anything and nothing will touch you. Do not run. Do not shout. Do not scream. Go through quietly. Anyway, it sort of builds it all up. And it's basically loads of people jumping out at you, dressed up as the various things.
Well,
Dracula, I had to go through,
Lord Vampire, as Legoland would have you call him.
They set up a hospital theatre, so it's like coma. I had to walk through a refrigerator full of hanging bodies. Then you go through the poltergeist girl's room.
Wow.
Also, Reagan's room in The Exorcist. And at the end, you get chased out by Leatherface. And I got thrown to him. And I was wearing a flamenco. I forgot about that. I was wearing a flamenco dress. It's quite hard to run in. And I got my leg stuck. And he put his...
Ooh.
He put his...
Oh, no.
He did. He put his chainsaw right... between my legs.
Up by your fanny?
No, because I wasn't. It was like between my feet.
Oh, well, all right. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, well, I was upset. I was upset about it because I was trapped.
But Chainsaw Massacre. So the last 25 minutes is him chasing the one surviving member of
me,
this team
in a flamenco
group.
Dress,
okay. I mean, there's a great scene in it. There's a guy in a wheelchair that can't escape. Straight down the middle.
Way-ya.
So he's chasing this thing, and in the 25 minutes is literally her screaming, because I think she's gone insane, because she's been held prisoner and has been sat tied to this. Anyway, she's 25 minutes. And I'm in bed as an 8-year-old, and they had it loud.
Yeah, and you could just hear the screaming.
And it went on and on. Hang on a second. Chainsaw Massacre ending. Let's see if we can, here we go, it's this.
You can make us stop. No, you can't.
Shut your mouth.
Hang on.
I just can't.
Hang on.
No, 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 no.
25 minutes of this.
Oh, no. Oh my god, that is actual.
And I heard that as an 8-year-old. I have never been more scared in my life. Even now, I'm in bed and I'm thinking, please, please make it stop.
It's awful.
Please make it stop. Some movie though. I might have to watch it. I might have to watch it again. It's been a while. Let us go to our good friend, Jackie. Good evening, Jackie.
Good evening, Ian. Nice to have you back.
It's nice to be back. Although I've got to say, Catherine did an excellent job, didn't she?
She did. And I did phone up a few times tonight, Catherine, and we had a good laugh.
I was listening, in Rome. So some of it, me and the boys, because it was 11 o'clock there. So boys stayed up late and we listened to bits of it. And then I'd go downstairs to my sofa bed, and I'd fall asleep listening to Kath. It was lovely. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, it's nice to know that you're with us like that.
There we go. I was, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, she's good. But here's the thing, Jackie, she's off on Wednesday for a week and a half.
What are we going to do, Cass?
Wait a minute, you're not, no, me, it's me, I'm doing the show, what are we going to do? We're going to have fun, we're going to be giving away $1 million.
Oh, great, I'll phone up that night.
There we go.
Brilliant.
What can we do for you, Jackie?
First horror film. If I remember rightly, I was in college, I think, and a gang of us went to see The Exorcist.
Ooh, your mother does ring things in hell.
We were under 18 anyway, because we'd only just started college, I think, about 79, 80-ish, 79.
Okay. Yeah, something like, maybe around about then, I can't quite remember, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think back, I thought I was in college, and we absolutely flew to the bus stop after the film, flew upstairs on the bus, home.
Sorry to interrupt, Jackie. Are there some little cats there that need feeding?
No, it's one of my white cat is sitting on top of a windowsill, with the neck curtain underneath, a balancing, screaming to get out. She went missing for 4 days last week.
Oh, she's going nowhere then. Oh, she's grounded.
She's well, last night was even worse because I've got a tortoiseshell one.
Yeah.
She went missing for about an hour or so, and I just happened, the girl who lives above me in the flat has just moved out, and I just thought, she's in the flat. And I turned round and I looked up at the living room above mine, and there was my cat sitting in her window.
Oh, no. What a locked in. Tart. Outrageous. So
I managed to find the girl who moved. I only knew her by her first name, but I managed to find her on Facebook,
yeah,
on her profile, sent her a message, said, please come and let my cat out.
Wow.
So she was only about 10 minutes up the road where she's moved to, so she very kindly came back and I went and rescued my cat.
Oh, my God.
I've got 5, unfortunately, so you'll probably hear the others in a minute.
Good. I've got three cats now, and I'm kind of thinking, I could do another one. I don't want to. They're the best.
Well, I've got my son's two.
Right.
His two boys. I've got three girls. I've got a Siamese, a white one, a tortoiseshell, a ginger, and a black one.
Yeah, yeah.
The two boys and my sons. He said, can you look after them until I get my own place and get back on my feet? And I said, yeah, of course I can, son. That's no problem. 2 years I've had them. And they're like part of the furniture.
That's
now,
it. They're
you know?
The best. They are cats. Anyway, go on. Sorry, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah.
Anyway, going back on to no, it wasn't on that. It was on Exorcist.
Exorcist. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I mean, as we all left the cinema, and then we all sort of sat on the bus looking at each other going home. Then we got off the bus at different stops. I got in the house and ran up the stairs and got straight into bed. And I was just thinking, I never want to see that girl twist their head.
Here's the thing, right? You watch Exorcist now, I don't think it stands the test of time very well, right?
No.
But at the time, no one had seen anything like it.
And also, much was made of the idea that it was based on a true story.
Yes.
And that hadn't been flogged to, pardon the expression, flogged to death the way it is now, where you kind of know it's probably bullshine. My dad was terrified by that. He took my mum on a date to it, and the story goes that they got back to my mum's house, and they were sitting in the parlour about to have a smooch. She turned the radio on and that song, There's a Ghost in My House, came on. My dad nearly pooed his pants.
The thing is, we all still follow what she did for years, you know, what she looks like now and when she talks about it. And we all sort of go on and say, oh my God, is that what she looks like now? And she's still with us, is she, I think?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I'll have to Google. Yeah, so but that was the first horror film I saw, and that sort of set the bar for I don't really like them now, anything, but you know, when some things come on, I'm sort of into Harry Potter.
See, I love it, right? I love a good horror film, but I don't remember the last time I got scared by a film. Maybe the last film that scared me was Wreck. I don't get scared anymore because I know what's going on. I might get a jump. There might be a jump scare or something, I believe they call them now. But I don't get scared anymore. I'd love to. I'd love it.
Yeah, that Annabelle, the doll.
Oh, don't talk about that doll.
That's coming out now, isn't it? Again, we just watched the original one, and where it's locked up in the cupboard, and then but they've just brought another version, a new version of She's Returned.
I don't like talking about haunted dolls on this show.
Yeah.
We don't talk about haunted dolls on this show because of the history, Jackie. So with your permission, we're going to move on. Thank you very much for being so understanding. It is appreciated. 03444991000 lowbrow stuff in highbrow places. Well, I once streamed your Twitch stream whilst in the Uffizi Gallery in Florence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend loved the place, but I was bored and put up with it to get laid.
Wow. Romantic.
Okay. What? So that's the first hour down. 0344 499 1000. Horror films. Your first horror film. Is there? I don't think there's anything scary anymore. I don't think. I mean, you can watch. Tell me a good film that I was thinking about that kind of slipped under the radar that I think you'd like. Vacancy. Have you seen that?
No.
It's got Luke Wilson in it, right? Oh. Who's Owen Wilson's brother. He's my favourite Wilson, but for some reason it just never quite happened for him and he ended up doing a lot of crap. But I think he's great. I mean, he plays Luke Wilson in every film. But Vacancy is a really good film about this couple that go and stay in a motel. And spooky things happen, man. But that's a really good film. But I don't think I'm ever going to be scared by...
Well, like properly haunting your dreams afterwards and all that.
Yeah, being scared to go up the stairs. I don't think it's ever...
Watership Down did that to me.
Oh, I can never watch that because of the terrible animation.
Well,
that
scratchy.
Awful 70s Lord of the Rings. Awful. I mean, yeah, okay, you're supposed to watch it and you cry. I guess that's not a horror film.
Oh, no, there's a really scary bit. Like the rabbit of death bit really frightened me.
It was a big thing. So I was a little bit young for that, but my sister got done by that.
There was also a Disney film about Darby O'Gill. Have you seen that one?
No.
And there's a banshee in that. That's supposed to be a kids' film. That scared me.
Oh, well, Dumbo. Don't put Dumbo on and then have a doze thinking your kid's going to be entertained by it. 0344 499 1000. Lowbrow things in highbrow places. Oh, and I've got a little bit of evidence that backs up my argument that we may have come from Mars several million years ago. Certainly destroys Catherine's paper thin week argument. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh. Hey, questa è la maxi storia di come la mia vita è cambiata. Capavolta sotto sopra sia finita. Seduto su due piedi, qui con te ti parlerò di Willy, super fico di Bel Air. Giocando a basket con gli amici sono cresciuto, me la sono spassata. Wow, che fissa ogni minuto, le mie toste giornate filavano così. Tra un mega tiro a canestro, un pin di Spike Lee. Poi la mia palla lanciata un po' più in su, andò proprio sulla testa di quei vichinghi laggiù. Il più duro si imballò, fece una trattola di me. E la mamma preoccupata disse, vattene a belerlo. L'ho pregata, scongiurata, ma dallo zio vuole che vada. Lei mi ha fatto le valigie, ha detto, va per la passata. Dopo avermi dato un bacio e un biglietto per partire, con lo stereo nelle orecchie, ho detto, qua è meglio sgommare. Prima classe, ma è uno sballo, spremuti d'arancia in bicchieri di cristallo. Se questa è la vita che fanno a bere per me, poi tanto male non è. Ho chiamato un taxi giallo col mio fischio collaudato, come Formula 1, mi sentivo gasato. Una vita tutta nuova sta esplodendo per me. Avanti a tutta forza, porta mia bere!
Oh, 0344 499 1000.
Che sventola di casa, mi sento già stranito. La vita di prima mi puzza di vecchio. Guardate adesso, gente in pista, chi c'è? Il principe Willy, lo svitato di Belà.
Oh, 0344 499 1000, the late night alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. It's a late night phone in show where you can call in about absolutely anything you want. 0344 499 1000. We got Roger, we got Pablo, we got Sadiq. Very quickly, we got some shows coming up. I forgot we got a show coming up quite soon. The 7th of September, which is less than a month away now. We're in Bath at the Rondo Theatre. 38 tickets left. Buy. Please buy. Come and see me and Catherine. We're doing the Rabbit Hole in Bath on the 7th, Saturday, the 7th September. It's a two-hour show. And as always, we stick around afterwards for half an hour or so, have pictures done, and whatever, you know, come and say hello, and it'll be nice to see you there. Or in November, I think it's the 7th or the 9th of November, I can't quite remember, we're doing the Rabbit Hole show live in Brighton. That's just gone on sale. So the ticket is a small venue, holds 60, and it's really helpful to us if you buy the tickets early. because it means we know that it's worth doing. If we get too close to it, people like to buy tickets, you know, like the day before, and it kind of doesn't help us. So if you can, that would be great. And also September the 14th, Saturday, September the 14th, the Rabbit Hole Picture Show is coming back. It's a film club that me and Catherine do in London. Really nice venue. We show a movie. There's free sweeties. Kath and I do a song at the start of the show. We try and get a guest if we can. And even if we can't, we kind of all have a little chat afterwards, and we talk about the film and whether we enjoyed it, and you're allowed to shout out and say funny things during the movie. And as always, there will be a prize for the best dressed viewer. This September the 14th, we are showing My Cousin Vinny, which is funnier than you remember. I watched it about 2 years ago and I was in hysterics. I want Criterion to do a double disc edition of My Cousin Vinny, because man, it's some movie. And again, that only holds about 60 people, and we've sold quite a few tickets already. So 7th September, Rabbit Hole in Bath. 14th September, the picture show in London, and the 7th or the 9th.
No, it's the 9th.
It's the 9th, thank you, of November. The Rabbit Hole is in Brighton, and we've got a few more dates coming up. If you go to ianlee.com/event, IANLEE.com/event, all of the tickets will be there. Interesting. Have you heard the new leader of UKIP?
Yeah, Richard Brain.
Richard Brain.
Parents, have a little think.
Richard Brain.
If you name your child, well, I think if you're going to go with Richard, just check.
Richard Brain saying at the conference, I think today or certainly over the weekend, that he confuses Sadiq Khan with an Islamic terrorist. I can't remember which one.
Wow.
Here's the thing about UKIP. When did they go from being a far-right organisation to being a far-right organisation? I don't quite know when that transition happened. And that's probably the last time they're ever going to get mentioned on the radio ever again, unfortunately, for those absolute thicko scumbags. 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number. Oh, flipping heck! We're living through our own... It's a slightly skewy comparison, but we're living through our own JFK at the moment, aren't we? And I'm not comparing Jeffrey Epstein to JFK. Well, I am. I mean, they're both scumbags. They're both sleazeballs. But is anyone actually buying Jeffrey Epstein, the multi-billionaire paedophile? No one believes he actually killed himself. Do they? No one believes that. A guy who'd previously tried to commit suicide in prison, and was put on suicide watch, and is in his little black book, he names Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, one of the Bushes, Prince Andrew, Matt Groening. No one really thinks. I think like the head of an Israeli political party as well, I'm not quite sure. No one really thinks he committed suicide. Come on, guys, we're not that dumb. We're not that dumb. And it is like, it's a whole JFK thing of, but we're seeing it unfold in real time.
It seems totally legit to me that the most high profile prisoner would be taken off suicide watch.
He's
just
taken off,
days before his hearing was about to begin.
Yeah.
When he was about to name names.
Yeah.
It went across the parties. High profile Democrats, high profile Republicans, the president.
Totally legit.
Yeah, take him off suicide watch and leave him to his own devices. He'll be fine.
So, and here's the thing, guys. We're never going to find out the truth, because the cover up is happening as we speak. The FBI, 2 days after he died, the FBI raided his pedo island. 2 days. So that's plenty of time to clear all evidence in 2 days. But also, the FBI are paid by the same people that would have killed him, probably, I'd imagine. I wouldn't put it past Trump. I wouldn't put it past the American. I wouldn't put it past the Russians to do it. To frame Trump. I just don't know what's going on anymore.
Here's the thing.
Put it past royalty.
If it happened in China, yeah. If it happened in Russia,
yeah.
We'd all be going, oh yeah,
yeah,
oh yeah, tell us another one.
Yeah. But because it's happened in America, but they can't. I mean, no, 03, this is, I know we don't kind of do this stuff, and I do want to talk about Trump a little bit. There's disgusting pictures of him holding an orphaned, baby, Paul and Chondo, I think is the name of the baby. I think that's how you pronounce it. With his thumbs up, his parents were murdered. It could be argued that the murderer was partially inspired by Donald Trump. We might talk about that later on. Those obscene pictures. But, if you believe genuinely that this Epstein character killed himself, 0344-499-1000, no one can believe it. No one can believe it. It's got to have been. There was so many, you know, wags on Twitter. One of the lines was, Jeffrey Epstein was as surprised about his suicide as the rest of us were. There were no cameras in his cell. There was nothing in there that would have made it, you know, it would have been very, very difficult to have hanged yourself in there, yet that is apparently what he did. Come on. And this is the problem with Twitter as well, right? Just going off on a tangent. So someone found me the picture of the two dolphins jumping up at the end of Jaws 3. It's from 1983. I'm hosting a radio show, so it's kind of difficult to do tweets. So I've tweeted the ending of Jaws 3, two dolphins pop up in really bad CGI. Someone tweets me, it's definitely really bad, but given that it's 1983, it's almost certainly not CGI.
Ah, explaining guy. I've been missing you. There's always one.
Well, actually, screw you. It will have been its imagery generated by a computer of some kind. So screw you, Peter Walker. I know you're trying to be helpful, but mate, I'm doing a radio show. I'm trying to, I'm sorry.
Don't even.
This is the problem with the world, right? It's full of pendants. Everybody has to have an opinion on something. Okay, thank you, Peter. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome to. We've thrown a lot into the mix, Catherine. Your first horror film, lowbrow things in highbrow places. And does anybody believe for a second that Jeffrey Epstein, the multi-billionaire child rapist and sex trafficker, for a second, does anyone believe that he killed himself? I know that I certainly do not.
Speaking of cleanups.
Yes.
We also need to write your TripAdvisor comments.
Thank you. Yeah. Just stayed in a really nice Airbnb apartment in Rome. But there were cockroaches, and I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know, do I go high, do I go low, four out of five, I'm thinking for, we'll have a look in a minute at what the review points are. I can't quite remember the things. Before that though, I want to speak to Janet. Good evening, Janet.
Hello.
Hey, Janet, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you, how are you?
I'm very, very well. What have you got for us, Janet?
Well, I was just listening to your very interesting talk about Pedo Island, and it kind of inspired me to ring you. I've actually really wanted to ring for a very long time, but haven't really picked up the courage before, so I thought I'd do it today.
The Pedo Island has given you the courage to call in, Janet. I don't know how I feel about that, but I'm glad to be speaking to you at last.
Excellent. Well, I'm very pleased to speak to you too, Ian. I did watch you in the jungle, actually.
Thank you very much indeed. I should have won it, but there you go. These things happen. Anyway, go on. What about Pedo Island?
Well, I just wondered, I had a question for you. What is your favourite word that rhymes with rhythm?
Come again?
Your favourite word that rhymes with rhythm.
Well, obviously it's schism, but why would that... What's that got to do with... have I missed something, Catherine?
No.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
Because how does Pedo Island tie in with words that rhyme with rhythm? He said hesitantly.
You could ask me what my favourite word is that rhymes with rhythm.
I'm not interested. Okay, go on. All right, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be the sucker that walks into the custard pie on the face. I'm going to regret this. What is your favourite word that rhymes with rhythm?
Well, it is jism.
Okay. Do you genuinely think that that's acceptable when we're talking about paedophiles? I guess not. What a terrible first call. What a terrible first call.
Or a really ill-judged prank?
No, a terrible first call.
Do you think?
Yeah. Hey, listen. If she hadn't have linked it to the island, if she hadn't have linked it to that story, okay, that's a fine, you know, that's a slightly below average prank call. But the fact that she linked it to child rape means it was a really bad first phone call, and also a really bad last phone call to a radio show. To link the two, do it separately, okay, there's something there. But to do it and link it to stories about child rape, nah, that was not good. Sorry if anyone was offended by that. I was just offended by how poor it was, really. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Her name's not Janet.
No, of course it's not. She's not on holiday in Wales, as it said on the screen. Anyway, 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
It's electric. It's eclectic. It's always rule-free. It's the late-night alternative with that man, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Mark. Good evening, Mark.
Hey Ian, how are you?
I'm all right, Mark. What you got for us?
Jeffrey Epstein, I'm completely with you. There's no way he committed suicide. No way. It's just a massive cover-up. And it's happening more and more. I mean, I don't know much more about the case other than say it's definitely... I'm sure it's not... It wasn't suicide. Like you said, he's the prison cell. How could he even get anything to commit suicide?
Now, hang on. I saw earlier on... Let me see if I can find it. Inside Jeffrey Epstein's cell. I saw a thing. Jeffrey Epstein had no cameras in the cell. Of course not. cameras are... Here we go. Oh, go away, pop-ups. What is this with pop-ups? Stop popping up. Cameras are focused on the areas outside the cells, but not inside. I thought there was a map of the cell that showed you stuff. But then here's the thing now, Mark. Supposing, just for a second, right? Supposing he did kill himself, right? Supposing he did. We now live in such a world that is, no one trusts anybody anymore. But no one trusts, do we trust the Russians? Was Brexit because of the Russians? Was Trump because of the Russians? Go on, Catherine.
We don't believe the experts.
No. We don't believe the experts have been poo-pooed. We don't believe the lamestream media. No one is gonna, no one's, I don't, who do we trust?
All right, let's look at it. This is a man whose career, life, reputation, all been blown up. His life was over. He had every reason to kill himself.
Yeah, but he also had every reason to bring some of the most powerful people in the world down.
Then everyone had the reason to kill him. I don't know, man. Here's the thing, Mark, right? This is 20 years from now. People are going to be doing phone-ins about, do you remember Jeffrey Epstein? What's your theory now on the 20th anniversary of his death? What's your theory? Because no one is ever going to know. No one's going to know because it's going to be coming up to the sky.
With this whole thing, you could go a lot deeper about other things that have happened in the world that some people think are complete conspiracy theories or not. I mean, I've got opinions on other things specific to the US. But one thing that there was a documentary on, did you ever see the series Making a Murderer about Stephen Avery?
Yes, yes, I did.
I mean, he's just had his retrial refused again, just literally a couple of days ago.
Here's the thing about Stephen Avery, and this is where we might fall out, Mark. I think he did it.
Yeah.
I think he did, and I don't remember it too well, so I can't argue the facts and the details that were in the show. But
you watched all 8 hours of the documentary?
I watched the first series. I did. I think there was a second one, which I didn't watch. I watched the first one, and I think he did it. Because you've got to remember as well, the documentaries, they can present information any way they want to. And they could have easily made a film that made him look guilty. And they chose to make a film that made him look innocent. And those Netflix crime docs, I'm always a little bit suspicious about them when you start sniffing out the bias. For example, the Staircase doc. Did you see that one about, did the guy murder his wife on the stairs, or was she attacked by an owl and all of that? And that was done to make him look innocent, I think, if I remember it. Well, then you find out that he was dating one of the researchers from the documentary. So instantly there's bias there. So I think Stephen Avery did it.
I get what you're saying about bias, but I think if you watch the second lot of documentaries, you may slightly change your mind. Maybe you won't. But one of the big parts of the second part was that he now has a lawyer, a mistrial lawyer. And she only takes on cases that she's convinced, one, they didn't do it, and two, that she can win for them. And she's got 100% success rate up until Stephen Avery. And her independent research
What's her name?
I can't remember her name.
Right.
I can't remember her name. But the lawyer he's got working on it for him, the whole second series could change your mind. Might not. But it could. But I personally believe he didn't do it based upon seeing it all. But when you look at his initial prison sentence of 15 years and then he got out, it just shows you that I think the days of old have gone where you can't trust politicians, police, or anybody. I don't trust any government to not set people up. And I think when you come back to, be interesting if you get time or you've got the inclination to watch it, see what you think on the second lot of the Stephen Avery.
I'm kind of I'm done with those murder documentaries for now because I feel like I've seen enough. Her name's Kathleen Zellner, and the his new lawyer, and I don't think she has 100% success rate. I'm trying to Google her while I'm talking to you, not to catch you out, but because I like.
Maybe I'm wrong then.
Yeah.
She has a very high
success rate. She says, Kathleen Zellner has taken on Stephen Avery's case. She's fiercely intelligent and methodical and says she lives for the impossible cases. Her track record is hugely impressive. Zellner has one of the highest success rates for overturning wrongful convictions in the States. Well, that's not 100%.
No. Okay. But it's worth, if you get the inclination to watch anything like that again, it's worth watching to see if it changes your mind.
Nice one, Mark.
But anyway.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. I don't think anyone can buy. Thank you, Mark. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. No one can buy that. No one could buy it. Did we do the quarter past break? We didn't do it. We did do it. Well, come on, man. Dear God. We God, what is this? What have you done to the team, Catherine, while I was away? What have you done?
I exhausted them.
Dirty cow.
Seriously.
Wow.
Dried husks.
Oh, no, come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Shirley, good evening, Shirley.
Oh, hi. Yeah, my point is, sometimes we have self-inflicted problems with, sorry, there's a bit of echo on here. Let me try and switch the off speaker.
Yeah, go off speaker.
Is that any better?
You sound fine. Is it any better for you?
Yeah, because there's just a bit of echo. It's not you. I think I'm into conspiracy. I think it's MI5, but I'll try and make.
Well, hang on, MI5 that did Jeffrey Epstein?
No, they're listening and muck up your phone call.
Okay. Oh, so MI5 are listening. Why would they listen into your phone call? Why don't they just listen to talk radio? Oh, because they don't know it exists. Even MI5 don't know that we're on. Okay, right.
With Prince Andrew, we stopped his money from the government. You know, I think it was called the civil list. So that put him in a position where he's got to hang around people with money.
Right.
And nobody gives you any money unless it's sleazy or they're stupid. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Because, you can't sustain your own lifestyle without a job. Andrew's not got a job. They've taken his money and he's got to find money. So you hook up with people who can...
Have they taken Prince Andrew's money? Surely he's wealthy, isn't he?
No, he only had the civil list money, didn't he? And they stopped all that.
Right, okay.
For most of them. Yeah.
I thought they kept it for Andrew.
They're still giving.
I thought they were.
Well, they've replaced it with a sovereign grant.
Okay.
He didn't receive civil list funding anymore, but I think he gets this sovereign grant thing.
Okay.
He does pay tax. And expenses from carrying out official duties continue to be paid by the Queen from Her Majesty's private income.
Yeah, that's not going to give you your helicopters and your...
I think he'll be all right.
Clubs, is it? I don't know, really. But I think that, you end up with, hanging around with people with money who've got their money from strange sources.
Right. So... Do you think Prince Andrew killed Jeffrey Epstein?
No.
He's got the training. Well, he's got the naval training.
No, but I think his friendship may it may have been financially. Like when you're a woman, you might cling on to a man who's got money. Does that make sense? Or if you like pop music, you cling on to a pop star who's got money. When you haven't got money yourself...
Yeah, you cling on to people with money. I get that, yeah. Of course. And, I can see why Jeffrey Epstein would like a prince, the son of one of the sons of the Queen of England, hanging around him. And obviously, we have to tread very carefully around what suggestions we may or may not make about Prince Andrew. So Prince Andrew, you say, was hanging around Jeffrey Epstein because he's got no money. So what?
Now things have gone wrong with the sex thing.
Yes.
He's now got a bad reputation, do you see what I mean?
I don't think Prince Andrew's ever had a good reputation. Apart from 20 minutes in the Falklands, I think he's always had a bad reputation.
Yeah, Randy Andy, that's what people used to call him.
One of his girlfriends that he had his hands around and they said, oh, she was 17. Is it illegal to have sex with a 17-year-old?
She was 16.
Was she 16? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of these cases. I'm not justifying anything. I'm just saying where you hook up with the wrong company.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm trying to work out exactly what it is you are saying. I'm fascinated, by the way, and I'm not having a go. But I'm slightly confused as to what your point is.
People are saying, oh, he's done this thing wrong, this is Andrew, and that wrong, when really he's hooked up with the wrong company for financial purposes.
Okay, but that wouldn't... and we don't know if Prince Andrew's done anything wrong or not. We're just kind of kicking around ideas and staying on the right side of the law. But there's hanging around. And by the way, I'm sure a lot of the people that hung out with Jeffrey Epstein are not child rapists. That happens. Paedophiles also have friends that are unaware of the crimes that they are committing. Are you saying that you think Prince Andrew was aware of what Jeffrey Epstein was doing, or he wasn't aware?
Probably not. I think the relationship just seemed financial, almost like a pop star. I think you heard it with Broth. They said they went to the Claridge's to have sandwiches, and when they lost their money, the sandwiches were 50 quid a plate, and he got four.
Yeah.
And when they lost their money, they had no friends.
Yeah, no sandwiches.
So people latch on for financial reasons, and then if the financial source is seen as sleazy, they then get the backlash from that.
Okay, so what do you think happened to Jeffrey Epstein? I like talking to you. Have we spoken before, Shirley?
No.
Okay.
No, I just...
You must call in again, because I'm enjoying this. What do you think happened to Jeffrey Epstein, then?
He probably was... you know, because in American prisons, you can get prisoners to kill people, can't you?
But he was he was locked in his own cell on his own.
You can come to harm if you powerful people don't like your position or you've done wrong.
Yeah.
It's probably 50-50, isn't it? Whether he's done it himself or whether other people do it.
Yeah, he's either done it. Well, this is the thing, Shelley, you're absolutely right. He's either killed himself or someone's killed him. One of those two things has happened. We just don't know what. Why do you think MI5 are listening to your phone calls and putting an echo on your line?
I'll tell you, see if I can explain it this way.
Yeah.
Asda shut at 4 in the morning. And I went down at 2. In the area I'm living, it's bringing a lot of mental illness. So I went down to Asda at 2, and there was a big yellow thing in the sky. And I said out loud, oh, the sun's out. And it was the moon. There's no sun at 2 in the morning. So where I live, I've not seen the sun in about 3 years, because the government has sprayed that many chemicals, the sun is blocked out. So when you go outside during the day, there's no yellow sun.
No.
You can't see it.
No.
Which is...
And where is it you live? Where is it you live? Birmingham?
I live in the Midlands, yeah. And so what happened was, the BBC said, oh, the weather's all funny, you know, erratic up and down. We're going to hold a conference. So I phoned the BBC and I said, look, you can't see the sun. It's completely blocked.
Are you not just going out at night time? Have you just got, like, your days and your nights confused and you're just going out at night time?
No, because when you go out, you can't breathe. If all the houses have got red cars, they've gone pink. If you put notices on the door, they fade. Notices on bins fade. The chemicals are really nasty. The government has literally done away with murder. So, you know, you go outside and the atmosphere is horrid. Absolutely, I call it unlivable. Yeah. The atmosphere is horrible. And you just don't see the sun, and I'm baffled that nobody said anything.
Yeah, okay.
You don't see the sun, and it's bringing a mental illness, because when I was out at 2 in the morning, I'm like, oh, great, the sun's come out at last, and it was the moon, you see. So, and also you can see all the drones, about 50 of them in like a square yard of sky.
Gosh.
And they double drive, you know, two of them together. They've just covered the sky in some kind of milky chemical. You can't even see the sun. So the BBC said, oh, the weather's this. We're having a weather conference. So I phoned them up and said, well, why are you bothering? You must know that in certain... And also the European Union declared Birmingham...
a shithole.
Yes. And a European Union experimental weather-changing area.
When did the EU declare that?
I don't know, within some kind of publication.
Hey, listen, I've got to go, Shelley. It's really nice to talk to you. Give us a call again, won't you?
Yeah, I've got these idiots on the line echoing.
Yes.
They're listening on every phone call.
I wish they had Rage Eye Diaries. Hey, listen, Shelley, honestly, it's really nice to talk to you. I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. I like Shirley a lot. What an interesting call. Thank you, Shirley. And I hope
that wasn't the answer to the question that you
I don't remember the question, but I enjoyed Shirley's insight into the world. Everybody is out there. Everybody is out there. And that's what it's all about. We got Roger and we got Pablo. Let's go to Roger first. Good evening, Roger.
Good evening, Catherine. I'm early enough to say happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Roger.
Just
gone straight
past me.
He jumped over you.
No, let's go to Pablo. Good evening, Pablo.
Hey there, Pablo.
Yeah, there we go.
How are you?
I'll come back to you in a minute, Roger. You better learn some manners by then, boy. Yes, Pablo, what can we do for you this evening?
Talk about first horror film type of things.
Yes.
Yes, mine was, oh, I completely forgot what it was called now.
Oh, jeez. Right, hang on a minute. Let's go back
the
to Roger.
Catherine?
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing it again. No, well, let's go back to Pablo.
Again. Psychomania. It was psychomania.
Psychomania. There we go, of course. Fantastic. Thank you. That's point one. Point two that's been missed so far in the debate.
What was the second part?
Okay, let's go back to Roger. What is wrong with everyone? Maybe Shirley's right.
I think it's MI5, yeah.
I think it's MI5 with their drones. Yes, Roger.
Oh, I needed this laugh, mate.
And he just dropped a fart there. Okay. flipping it. Is it. Hello, Pablo.
Yes, Roger Epstein-related things. I think it's very much more of a case of... Are you familiar with Adam Curtis?
What is everyone going on about tonight? I'm thinking of Richard Curtis. You mean Adam Curtis, the man who makes really long, slightly tedious documentaries?
Well, he used to work with Ice Ranson about dogs that used to speak and things on Last Life.
Right, okay.
He did that.
Okay.
But more importantly, the hyper-normalisation thing, his last long, very long film, which is all talking about, you know, the way the Russian government have kind of got the people to accept the fact that they believe things are going on, but... they assume that it's happening.
You can get anybody to believe anything, right? Flat earthers, anti-vaxxers, Brexit. You can get anybody to believe anything if you tell it in the right way. It is simple. I've done it on a much smaller scale, and I've convinced people and wound people up. I've done it on a small scale. But things where people are actually dying, as they are with anti-vaccine propaganda, people will die and put their kids' lives at risk because they believe that... Sorry, I'm laughing at my line about Birmingham being shitter. I don't believe that, but I thought it was a very well-delivered line. I'm very proud of that. People will believe... It's very quick. My boy said something, and I came back with a line, right? And they laughed, and my youngest went, it was very fast, but not very funny. And I went, yeah, I'll take that. That's my act. Anyway, people will believe anything at the end. Catherine?
They will, especially if it taps into their feelings of powerlessness. So if it makes them feel like they know something that no one else does and that they can contribute positively by being a banner waver for something, a lot of people will rally to that.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. But, I mean, that's the thing with hyper-normalisation. Basically, it goes beyond that to the point of, you know, people not only just believing what they're told, but people actually inherently knowing that the government or the people who are in charge are potentially up to no good or aren't doing what they say, but accepting what they're told because, you know, they've just fallen into being part of that system that, you know, it's one of the reasons why often your Secret Service and all that, they're often played out to be quite nefarious in films and TV shows, when in reality, if you think about it, you know, it's a government secret services. If there was an issue with that, they would just put the kibosh on that and say, oh, you can't use us in films. But they allow that to be put out there because people just assume, oh, well, it's the NSA, it's the MI5, MI6, they're going to be up to that sort of stuff anyway. So when things like Jeffrey Epstein or when it came out that they were accessing people's computers and their information, people go, oh, well, we kind of knew they were doing that anyway, so what are they like? And it becomes that, and it becomes that we accept that they're going to do it, so it, you know, when it happens, they get away with it because nobody's bothered to look into
well,
it.
Well, I've had enough of billionaire paedophiles being murdered by one state or another, and I demand it stops right now.
Well, so I think they just basically step back and just let them get to it. I mean, nobody has to be personally responsible. That's kind of how this works. Everybody's got something on the line, so if everybody just steps back and lets it happen... Then,
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, the reason he was on suicide watch initially was because he was found collapsed on the floor with...
The first murder attempt was botched.
Well, that's what they said. Basically, they said he had like potential, but they weren't sure ligature marks around his neck.
Yeah.
Which they assumed he'd done himself, but they found him on the floor with them around his neck without any ligature. So how is he collapsed on the floor with ligature marks without the actual ligature?
Why was he not put on Dr. Phil or something? Why was he not put on a TV show? Probably not Dr. Phil.
Dr. Oz these days.
Yeah. Why was he not put on a TV show so he could tell us the truth then?
Well, that's...
Here's my prediction. He ain't going to be the first person that gets bumped off in this. There's going to be another death connected with this very, very soon. That's my prediction.
Well, the key thing that you said about the island being 2 days after, because the thing I'd read, like, initially when he had allegedly topped himself, was that now he's dead, that everything in regards to the court case, it's all accessible, because he's the only person who owns this property, so the government could access his property straight away without any concern.
And wipe his hard drive.
Well, that's it. Well, exactly.
No one thinks they did a proper investigation into the Las Vegas shooter, do they?
Well, no, well, that's the thing, but it's, and obviously with the Prince Andrew side of it, it's, you know, the one thing that, because obviously Epstein's been in trouble for a good 10 years before now, with, like, trafficking and prostitution issues, and everybody else, even Trump, all these pictures they're showing about are from quite a while ago, even though he was involved in some of these parties, but Prince Andrew was still quite friendly with him up until 2015. You've got these, he's like a personal friend, so there's a lot going on, and as I say, I don't think any particular nefarious agency is involved. I just think that everybody said, well, he needs to go if we let him top himself.
Exactly. I think Smursh. Who was Smursh? Was Smursh the man from Uncle? Were they the bad guys in The Man from Uncle, Catherine? I'm looking at you.
I don't remember.
Okay, try and remember.
The Man from Uncle. No, I barely
Ilya
remember.
Ilya Kuryakin and Napoleon Solo. I used to, Ilya Kuryakin, Napoleon Solo was the, Robert,
Who was the one with the blonde bowl cut?
That was Ilya Kuryakin, that was the English guy. And I used to, at school, at the age of like 16, I would sign my name as Ilya Kuryakin, because I just enjoyed, I could do a really good... signature of Ilya Kuryakin.
Nice.
So,
I don't know where that takes us.
Thank you. Was great. Thank you. 03444991000. Roger, we're going to give you another try, another bite at the cherry after this.
Closing time conversation for tax inspectors, taxi drivers, and taxidermists. Great big talk for the wee small hours.
You've been trolling me big time, mate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Stay there, Roger. Coming to you in a second. 03444991000. There's a brilliant podcast whose name I can never remember. So I'm going to get it because if you're a Beatles fan, it's well worth, there's so many Beatles podcasts and some of them are crap. Some of them are brilliant and it's hard. I've kind of got scared. You type in Beatles into a podcast catcher thing and there's just so many. I don't know where to go. Nothing is real. And we met one of the gentlemen who does Nothing is Real when we were in Belfast. It's brilliant. It's really, really good podcast. And I really, really enjoy it. The people behind that are talking with Dave, who's one of the listeners to this show and calls him from time to time, talking about Paul McCartney in the 80s. It's all going on Twitter and one of the songs that popped up was No More Lonely Nights, which is a great Paul McCartney song. It's could be argued is something for you Mac fans. Could be argued it's the last great Paul McCartney song. Could be. Anyway, and then I was reminded of my friend Sayako, who's Japanese, and she works with the band Box, who I'm big, big fans of, and they kind of got a Beatles vibe going. And I remember she came over maybe 6 years ago, and she played me a video of a Japanese gentleman performing No More Lonely Nights. And I'd forgotten about it until this conversation was going on. I just tweeted her saying, do you remember that guy? Who was it? She goes, oh, it's Hiroyuki Izuta, right? And she sent it to me. Listen to this. This is a Japanese dude doing No More Lonely Nights by Paul McCartney. Have some of this. Here we go.
I can wait another day until I call you.
Those high notes sound like McCartney.
You've only got my heart on a string. But another lonely night might take forever.
Ever, it's McCartney.
We've only got each other to blame. It's all the same.
So then during the break, I'm very quickly falling down Hiroyuki Izuta rabbit hole. And I've just found this.
And then I find this. It's just relentless. This is a Japanese dude, right? It's good, isn't it?
So
it's good.
Hiroyuki
Izuta. I'm going to see if I can get him on the show. Here's the thing, right? Quite often, Japanese musicians can sing English perfectly, but cannot speak a word of it. This is what I have found.
Yeah, you mimic the sound.
Yeah, phonetically. I'm going to see if he speaks English well enough to come on the radio show. Let's see if we can sort that out. 0344-499-1000. Roger, you're a good sport. It's lovely to talk to you, my friend. I enjoyed watching you play video games earlier on Twitch. What have you got for us today?
Well, I had a whole routine planned comparing last week's show to this week's
show. Here we go.
But you totally ruined it.
I'll ruin your face.
I thought I'd get a 50-50% chance of getting away with it.
I'm going to ruin your face with my fist in a minute if you don't watch out, young man. Kath was good last week, wasn't she? And I don't mean that to sound in any way patronising or anything like that. But what a show. It's the show I want to listen to.
It's great. It was fantastic. I was very careful in my words as well, because I didn't want to sound patronising either. But as people say, it's the same show but different.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice vibe. What's interesting, I don't know if this is the way the sound is compressed. Obviously, it goes through several computers. The voice goes through computers and it compresses it. Then it kind of expands it and there's stuff is added to it. Then it goes up to the transmitters and it's sent out or is listening on Wi-Fi. So, but Kath's voice didn't sound anywhere near as irritating listening on my phone as it does in real life. Kath, any explanation for that? That was amazing. If you could incorporate that into your real life.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Thanks, mate. My birthday as well.
Yeah, only 7 minutes left, love. And then it's back to me.
No, I've got till 7:02 tomorrow.
No, you haven't. That's not, that's not how, but Kath thinks that birthdays work.
Are we going to do a whole day or not?
Today was your birthday.
No.
Tell the boys and girls what the birthday card I bought you said.
Happy birthday to a total legend, and then there was an asterisk, and it said, oops, I meant Bellend.
Oh, I was so thrilled when I found that.
But was that from the same place I got your card from? I think it was.
Amazon.
Oh, no.
And also, I bought...
What did my card to you say?
I hope your birthday isn't shit.
Because he always moans about hating birthdays.
Shut your face. I bought Kath the best birthday present, Roger. I bought her immortality. I've paid for her to be part of the time travel club.
Hello?
And this means... Raggy? Raggy?
Are you going to start talking about drones and the sun?
No, this means that at any point now, her money is being invested in a fund, right? That means, like, in a few hundred years' time, it'll be worth billions of dollars. And when it's worth billions of dollars, the people that have taken the money that I paid for this will come back. It's a genuine thing. I tried to do it last before I went on holiday, and everyone kept talking over me. And then the people that have then got the billions of dollars will then come back in a time machine, and they will pluck Catherine from this time and take her to the future when they'll have a cure for all diseases. And I'll read it when we get back from the news. That's what I'll do. Anyway, Roger, what you got?
Well, yeah, as I said, I've been having trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
I bought a new pillow today. I've been awake technically since 2:30 this morning.
Ooh, tough guy.
And I finally succumbed. I thought I'll have a lay down and listen to Mr. Whale, waiting for tonight's show to come on.
Yes.
And I think I dozed off around about sometime around about 9. I dozed off. Next minute, I'm hearing the Fresh Prince of Bel Air in another language. I'm like,
Hungarian.
Yeah, Ian's back.
Yeah, Ian is back.
Ian's back.
He's back in the New York groove, baby.
First horror film.
Yes.
First horror film.
You're not watching one yet, you're a pussy.
I can't remember my first horror film.
Oh.
I was a toddler, and my mum was doing housework. I was sat watching TV, and she's checking in on me, you know, making sure I'm all right. And I'm probably about 4 or 5, I guess. Yeah. And
what did you watch, Roger?
She hears me laughing.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, there's a cartoon, must be a cartoon or something.
Yeah.
Next minute, she hears screaming. She comes running into the room to find that the text Chainsaw Massacre's on the TV.
Oh, what? Chainsaw Massacre's on the TV?
Yeah. I don't know whether it was a pirate copy or they hired it, but it was in the video.
Oh,
I put the video on.
And it's not. Limmy today tweeted me saying I watched Chainsaw Massacre when I was 8. It didn't do anything bad for me. Yeah, mate. Right. Sure. And that explains a lot about you, Roger.
I can't remember it. I've never seen the film.
That reminds me of the story of my first Bluey.
Oh, here we go.
Mum had been to the video shop to get a film called Dot and the Kangaroo.
And now your
tale.
Mum and dad are swingers, and we've established
they're
that.
They're not swingers. But obviously, she put the video in and left me to it, and when she came back in, she realised I was watching a Bluey, and they put the wrong film in the box.
Course they had, Mum. Course they had.
I said, there's no kangaroo in this yet, Mum.
But there's a lot of bouncing. There's a lot of bouncing. Roger, you bring out the worst of Catherine. You bring out her Bluey side, and that's something we cannot encourage. Nice to talk to you, Roger. I hope you're well, mate. We've got James, we've got Catherine, and we've got Keith. We will come to you after the news, because I'm going to give you a fair crack o' the whip. 03444991000. What review am I going to leave on air? Oh, you're right. You look tired. It's because you're old, yeah. What review? Your birthday stops in 1:40. It doesn't carry on until 5 to 7 p.m.
tomorrow. I'm a special girl. Can I do this 2 minutes?
Yeah, sure.
I'm a special girl. Everyone do what I say. It's my birthday. Special. Really special. Sing. You sing.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road is where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there, we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.
Here we go!
You wanna join me for a while? Grab your hat, come travel like that.
0344 499 1000. Bill Al is on the line. Good evening. It's not Bill Al, is it?
Hello. Hey. It is me.
But that, well, hang on. Which Bill Al is this?
The one that was there with you.
It is, man. The one that Alan Caddick was called Bill.
Because we said it's Bill Al.
This is the problem, Bill Al. You've now crossed the line from guest to weirdo.
How? I feel weird because I'm nervous calling it. Because I was there.
Yeah.
It's the strangest thing, man. I get nervous. I don't do it too often these days, but if I phone a radio station, I get a twitchy leg, I start walking around in circles. It's the most unnatural thing to do. And you, talented performer, performed in front of many, many people. You were sat in that chair just the other week, and now you're knowing what it feels like. That's why so many of our callers have drink and drug problems.
My heart's beating fast.
Hang on, sorry, are you calling us because you're having a heart attack? Put the phone down, man. You need to call 999.
I think I'm okay. I've generally got a really high heart rate. My Fitbit is always on like 90 or something.
Gosh. Have you been eating just an all butter diet?
I am very unhealthy, but I think it means that I burn a lot of calories.
It means you're living fast and dying young. You're this generation's Jim Morrison. And by that I don't mean crap.
Okay.
How you doing, man? You're all right?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks.
Cool. What you got for us? Surprise.
I don't want to talk about the pedo that might have killed himself.
Okay, that might have killed himself.
Yeah,
ooh,
no one's sure.
Lamestream media there, okay.
Yeah, I was just reading a blog. I Googled it, and there's all conspiracy theory. Some people think that it's a fake body.
So he's
still alive somewhere.
Yeah.
Why would you want to keep him alive?
I guess the other pedos that like him snuck him out.
Oh, yeah, that could happen.
Pedos snuck him out so they could carry on with their pedo parties.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry, I said I didn't want to talk about him. I just,
He won't stop talking about him. I'm trying to steer the conversation away, and you're obsessed with this guy.
I think Bill Al knows too much.
Yeah, what's going on,
be
man?
Be careful.
Oh, Kath, thanks for sorting the car for me.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's very nice.
Did it drop you off at home, or did it roll you out halfway?
Or did it take you to Pedo Island?
I can't say.
Can't say. For legal reasons.
Yeah. Ian, do you like Thai food?
Do I like what? Thai food?
Yeah.
Is this the beginning of a joke, like seafood?
Yeah.
Do you want to go for a meal at some point?
Ooh, I like this! Me likey, as my boys would say. Me likey. You know we're on the radio,
I was
yeah?
going to message you, and I thought, well, just call, because...
You know where he is.
You know that this phone number is the radio phone number, and we're being listened to by literally tens of people.
Yeah, but it's better than some of the calls, isn't it?
Yeah. Mate, tell me about it. We've got Keith in Wigan coming up next, and Rainbow George is just phoning in. It really is a bummer. Yeah, I'd love to go for Thai food, definitely.
Cool, shall I talk to your agent?
You can talk to me. Did I give you my phone number?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to do it now? Over the...
Yes, 07... Get out of... Did I send it to you?
No, I don't think I have it.
Okay. Well,
I have your email address and Twitter message.
Okay. Well, you send me an email. I'm going to send you phone number. We're going to go out and have Thai food.
Oh, good. Or do you like crispy duck pancakes?
Yeah, he does.
What is good?
I like them too.
Yeah,
you want to come, Kath?
No. Bollocks, no.
I'm going on holiday.
She's going on holiday, mate.
Unless you can hang on for a week or two.
And here's the thing I didn't want to tell you, Bill Al. She's a massive racist.
What?
So.
Oh, yeah, I know. But
yeah.
Okay.
You know.
We're all massive racists. Now. Exactly. It's the thing.
Britain's very different now.
What crispy duck? What, like Finder's pancakes?
No.
What's he saying?
Like that crispy duck that's not really duck. That brown stuff.
No,
that
that's
goes
duck.
In the pancake.
Shut the... That's
you
duck.
No crispy duck pancake.
Sometimes it's not duck.
The ones you have to roll yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm not... It's not like I'm talking about drugs. You roll your own. Yeah, man. Yeah, I like that. I think that's fun food. Although I can never get the quantities of that brown sauce.
Poison. And,
come on, man.
Yeah, and the vegetables.
I'm also suspicious of any meat that you have to mash.
You don't have to mash it. You just put it...
Don't mash it. She's
you mash it off the bones.
No, you don't mash anything. It's there. It's in pieces. They pull it. They pull off the duck for you.
I was going to say we could have, because they do that as a starter in most places, we could get loads of it and just eat loads.
That's not a starter.
You don't like it that much.
I like it, but normally I'm ordering it for my kids and I have to make it for them because they're idiots. But I would not have that as a starter. That would be a main for me.
Oh, no, I think it's a starter because it's like you have a quarter duck.
Okay,
or
well,
you have like a whole duck.
Here's the thing, Bilal. I'm a little bit older than you. I've actually... Have you been to China?
No.
I have. And I think it's the main course. I don't think it's a starter. I've been to China.
Prawn crackers is a starter, isn't it?
I'm talking about, like, Soho. We're not going to China.
Ah, I've completely misunderstood the direction of this conversation. I thought it was a holiday. He literally just means a meal.
Yeah.
Well, you can get half duck.
Something like that. I think you can get a hot, I don't know, but yeah.
Two half ducks.
It's, don't make a goose.
Don't make a right.
there's something there. Let's workshop that. I'm always disappointed. Well, that little bin that the pancakes come in, you expect it to be stacked full of pancakes. And there's like six or eight.
They
bring you more.
Do you have to pay for it, though?
I don't think so.
Well, then just put loads in. Chinese restaurants ain't going to give you free pancakes.
Mm.
Not even the guy that stole the strawberries in the jungle is going to get free pancakes anymore. Maybe a year ago, sure. Now, no. I'm just a no-go.
We didn't even get sweets from that place we went to all the time. And we'd see them giving sweets to everyone else.
Yeah, we used to go to a Chinese restaurant when we worked at the old place, Bilal. And we were there, sometimes we were there three nights a week.
Yeah,
right?
A lot.
And, everyone else would get one of those little chocolate eclair sweeties.
With the bill.
We never got one. Ever.
That's weird.
That's outrageous.
I think they were worried about our diet.
Right, well, I feel bad for the people that are waiting.
Honestly, it's Keith and it's Rainbow George. I mean, who cares? Okay, send me an email. No, hang on a minute. I've got your email. So compose.
Yeah, or just message me on Twitter if that's easier.
Well, I'm not going to send me my phone number on
You're saying it.
That's the only way I can do it.
You're saying the sound of it. We can work it out. Saying A, F, and O.
That's the only way I can do it.
Oh, my God.
It's the only way I can do it.
It's like when I used to play Name That Tune, my sister, and she used to go, Olsen Ilda. Never work out how I always got it.
Are you doing any shows, man, that I can come and see?
Not in London soon. I'm all over the country, basically.
Well, why don't you do one in a Chinese restaurant?
I've never done that before. I've done Indian restaurants. They have a lot of stuff.
Okay. Catherine, keep your mouth shut before you say something offensive.
I won't.
Did a Mediterranean restaurant.
I did a gig years ago in a pizza restaurant. That was put on. It was a club that was run by Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
It was. I was the open spot. Ardlo Hanlon was the headline. I used to Ardlo Hanlon doing stand up. Man alive, it was. I don't know if it is now, but it was a sight to behold. And Sacha, I did really well in my stand up, and then Sacha called me back on for an encore. I didn't have anything left. I'd used everything. So the encore was awful. And then he said, afterwards, I'll give you a paid gig. Just give me a call. Never gave me a paid gig ever again. Twice in my life, that guy has let me down massively. But I've sent you an email. Send us a text, man. Let's sort something out.
Cool. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Can I ask you a question? Because you sound a little bit flat. Is there a man there with a gun at your head? Who has demanded that you get in touch so that he can kill both of us?
No, I have what do you call it? My voice is just, I sound bored.
Okay, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah, my audience.
It's bad for conversation and it's bad for day jobs, but for comedy, they think, I get called Rye a lot.
Okay,
and all of that. Like, it's so brilliant. And actually, that's how I speak.
Could you in that case, if we are going out for dinner, could you hire someone to do your words for you? Otherwise, it's going to be a bit boring for me.
Someone with enthusiasm.
Yeah. Get an enthusiastic out-of-work actor to be you.
Okay, I'll write the words.
Thank you, Bill. I'll speak to you soon, man. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. I think I might be getting a new friend.
Or going on a date.
Maybe. Who cares? I'm happy to try anything. Let's go to Catherine. Good evening, Catherine.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, Catherine.
Welcome home.
Thank you so much. There's nothing... Oh, my Catherine is pulling silly faces.
Oh, not your Catherine. You
Catherine 2 is pulling silly faces, Catherine 1.
Oh.
It's nothing like going to bed in your own bed, waking up, but the smell of cat poo wafting through your own house.
That is so true, the soft aroma.
Oh, God. I've got two litter trays, one downstairs for the kitten, the kitten's a year old, one upstairs for the old cat. But they now just all use the upstairs one.
Easier, isn't it?
And if I get rid of that, then Velvet just goes to the toilet in the bedroom because she doesn't want to go downstairs. And honestly, if the young cats do a poo, it's woken me up before, the stench.
Yeah, I know.
It's disgusting.
I've had cats and dogs all my life and I know what that is like.
It's horrible.
So awful. So awful. Anyway, it's good to have you back. But Catherine was absolutely brilliant last week. I phoned in my first spooky correspondent story.
Oh yeah,
and God, that was terrifying.
Catherine and I had a chat and it was really lovely. What I really wanted to tell you two things was the first horror film that I saw that absolutely terrified me, but I was 8 years old.
Uh-oh.
And I begged my dad to let me watch it because my dad was a huge horror fan.
Yeah.
And it was Universal's The Wolfman with Oliver Reed.
Oh, I don't remember the Oliver Reed one. Was that wasn't a black and white one, was it? That was colour.
No,
it was
colour.
Right, okay.
But it was his eyes. They kept cutting to his eyes, just shot through his eyes that were yellow and bloodshot. And it terrified me. Yeah. It really scared me.
Beautiful. What a feeling. The feeling of being terrified by a movie is wonderful. Because you're so
safe. It can be, because you sort of walk out with, like, you know, not need and everything else, but... This one was it terrified me so much when I went to bed that night.
Yeah.
I kept checking my window to make sure that there was nothing outside. And ever since then, I have had a fear of werewolves. Ever since I was 8 years old because of the film. So, but I love it. I bought it. I've got it on special edition.
Beautiful.
Because I'm a big horror fan, so I've got about 1,200 DVDs.
I love them.
But so that's that. The other thing is, there is a little box.
Island to the north of Kathmandu. So.
Yeah, there's a little box on its way to you. There are two little presents in there, one for you, one for Cass. I don't want you to think when this box arrives that it's gonna sort of like explode or anything like that.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you, Catherine. I just reminded me, we had a lovely package from Jerry from California who listens to the show and calls in from time to time. And cause Catherine's birthday and a late birthday present for me. And it's full of wonderful gifts bought from the Dr. Pimple Popper's
surgery.
Really? Including And here's the thing, Jerry. She's bought us both two Dr. Pimple Popper's T-shirts. You don't know who Dr. Pimple Popper is. She's this doctor.
No, I know.
And she squeezes zits and things. Sandra and she's amazing. Lee. And she's bought us these two T-shirts, which are amazing and I would wear. Except they're signed by Dr. Pimple Popper, which means we can never wear... A, they're amazing treasures, but B, we can never wear them because you wash them and the signature comes out. So thank you, Jerry. Amazing, amazing presents. Very, very kind of you. Thank you.
Aww.
And thank you, Catherine. You're very generous.
No, I'm not. I was so impressed again with the way... You helped that man with the pizza. I mean, I just, you know,
there you go.
It's a big thing to somebody, you know, it's a big thing in somebody's life when they can ask somebody and you just,
I love
you know.
The fact as well. And I don't even need to say what we did because, you know, but the fact that I could tell he'd never listened to the show,
no,
but he just heard that there
amazing.
Might be a chance. And you know what? There was a great chance. And good luck to him.
That was amazing. That really, really was.
Thank you, Katie.
But anyway, they're going to be posted tomorrow. But just don't think I'll put my name on the back of it and everything. Don't think there's anything dodgy about them. Because
you're very, very kind. And it's a big, Catherine, thank you very much indeed. And I'm reminded of something I was going to say earlier. Thank you, Catherine. 03444991000. It was Ian, wasn't it, whose brother had passed away.
Yes.
Who spoke to 2 hours ago, and I was reminded of something, and I've just remembered it. When he said he didn't want to be an imposition to anyone. And I was reminded of something I saw on Twitter last week. Yama Mama, who tweets us from time to time, tweeted, I think it was a friend of hers, I think it was a mum, I could be wrong, it could have been a dad, I think it was a mum, who had gone on to GoFundMe or one of those sites. Did you see this?
Yeah.
I retweeted it. Asking for 300 quid because she was struggling, not Yama Mama, the person who didn't have any money to entertain, I think it was one kid. I'm misremembering so much of this because I saw it when I was on holiday. So if I've got this wrong, I apologise. So it was a mum who had a kid and couldn't afford to do anything over the summer holidays. Couldn't afford to do anything and was asking for 300 quid. So I went in and I put a few quid in and I retweeted it. And I was thrilled to see that I think by the end of it, she'd got like 370 quid or something. And, of course there were, because it's Twitter, of course there were a couple of mean people going, oh, look, asking for handouts on Twitter, absolute scumbag, and all of this. And I thought, and I'm reading this while I'm in Rome, right, one of the most expensive cities in Europe, and I'm thinking, I've got a few quid, I'm in a really privileged position. My boys, who are starting to learn that they're in a privileged position, because we talk about it now, my boys are in Rome, and we're having a great time, we've got a really nice apartment,
yeah.
I can spare a few quid. Summer holidays are so expensive. Even if you just want to go out for a lunch with, forget about going on holiday. Even if you just want to buy some, you know, card games or something. It's so expensive. And it must have been so difficult for that. No one goes online and sets up a GoFundMe to pay for their kids' summer holidays. Rubbing their hands with glee and going, oh, this will be a great way of getting free cash. It must have been such a hard thing, I don't want to say humiliating because maybe it wasn't, but such a hard thing to do. And there's only a couple of arseholes that came up, and I kind of blocked them. I didn't engage with them at all. And it was the point that links it with Ian, who didn't want to be in imposition, talking about his brother and his mum who passed away, and this person who put the thing. There's no shame in asking for help. There's no shame in asking for someone to help. And I've learned that so much this year. I am free of shame for the first time in like 40 years because I've asked for help. I've asked you for help, Catherine. I've asked the listeners for help. I've asked the therapist for help. I've asked a new sponsor to help. I've asked for help. I've got no problems with it. And you should never judge anybody who's gone, do you know what? I'm struggling a little bit here. And it could be emotionally, could be financially, it could be anything. I'm struggling a bit. Could you just help us out a bit? Listen, if this person had gone on and done a GoFundMe for $5,000, all right, let's take in the mic. 300 quid is nothing. Do you know what? 300 quid is nothing. There's no shame in asking for help. That's to Ian earlier, and that's to the person who was doing the GoFundMe. And that could be to you, dear listener, if you're struggling a little bit. I actually thought it was a really clever idea, just going, I need a few quid so I can entertain my kid and give her a good time, you know.
It wasn't even for fun stuff, it was for basics.
It was, wasn't it? It was. And summer holidays are such hard work for God knows how. If you're a working single parent, mother or father, God knows how you do it because you've still got to work. You don't get the 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it is, off. You don't do it. You've still got to work, so you've got to pay for childcare. It's nuts. Anyway, I was going off on a slight tangent. We've got Keith next, and we've got James, and then we've got George, 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
If you would like to give us a call, let's go. Now, Kath, what do you reckon? What film do you think is going to be spoiled in this next phone call? What films are out at the moment? There's Angry Birds 2.
Horrible Histories.
Horrible Histories. They're not really kind of films you can spoil. Ah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Let's find out. Keith, what film are you going to ruin?
No, actually, I was going to say there's not much out at the moment.
There's not a lot, is there?
And you think I'm a spoiler, but I've got a tip for a couple of TV series thrillers, drama thrillers, to offer. By the way, it's lovely to speak to you both. I'm not ringing for a while.
Nice to speak to you too, Keith.
Oh, that's nice, yeah. I want to recommend a series called Waco. I don't know if you're aware, it was on Alibi Channel. You can still get it.
I don't know the Alibi. I don't know the far reaches of the
Alibi. Yeah, it's just on UK Play.
I don't know what that is. I'm so out of touch with telly.
Well, anybody who's got Virgin,
okay,
or Sky Atlantic. Well, yeah. This Waco, if you check it out, it's absolutely 10 out of 10.
Now, is it a drama about Waco, or is it a documentary?
I'm not going to spoil it. I know how
it ends.
Well, what's really interesting, I mean, my memory, I think you'd remember it was 1993.
Yeah.
And I guess what surprised me, your memory is how it was reported, you know, by the media at the time.
Mainstream media, yeah.
You know. But it's really well.
We talked about Waco because we had the guy whose name escapes me from Five Live, Chris somebody.
Yeah.
Had done a. It was about Waco, wasn't it?
It was. It was about the Brits that ended up there.
Yeah,
Chris Warburton.
Right. Really good
you're
podcast.
Right.
Really good podcast
Chris
about
Chris Warburton.
All right,
Chris
yeah.
Warburton.
There were some, and I remember it. I you know from when I was working. You just know it on your timeline in your life, don't you? Of how it was presented. So I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to try and set it up and encourage people to seek it out. Because it was a 51-day siege. Everybody knows that. But what I learned was it was the sort of how it was managed.
Are you about to spoil the story for
everyone? No, I'm trying to give you the sort of setup from it. The FBI... I thought it was the FBI that was sort of sent in to manage it.
No,
however,
it's tobacco
it was
and firearms.
Agency called, I'd never heard of it, it's called the ATF.
Yeah.
Which is the,
tobacco and firearms.
Alcohol, tobacco and firearms. I've never heard of these geezers.
Yeah.
So, from the minute one, it's excellent, really, in terms of how they present a balance. Three-dimensional perspective of the...
But the guy in charge was a nut job. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
Koresh was a nut job.
And a pedo.
Yeah, I acknowledge that. And Child Services had been in there before that. However, how over the 8-9 episodes, how it's presented, is really, really...
Just so
interesting.
Oh yeah, there were good people in there. There were a lot of good people in there who were lied to and manipulated.
Yeah, I'll not spoil it because of how we all know how it ended.
Yeah.
And you'll call me a spoiler because of the variable that was in there. So I won't spoil it for you. Honestly, from minute one, there's not a weak episode. So that's okay. That's my tip.
Brilliant, thank you.
Hang on, I've got another one
okay,
for you.
Okay, so, okay.
One I picked up, she was on one of the morning programmes, and it's called Keeping Faith, set in Wales.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've come across that one.
No.
That's on, it's on BBC iPlayer.
Yeah.
She's a solicitor, married to a solicitor, and again, not to spoil it, because it happens in the first 10 minutes.
But they all die at the end.
The husband, it's a family firm, beautifully set on the coast in around Cardigan, I think.
Oh, okay.
And he goes missing.
Oh.
Everything's in place, you know, family firm. He goes missing, and it evolves from that. And again, there's not a weak episode. There's actually two series of it. So me and my daughter has been staying with me.
Now, when you watch it on the TV, Keith.
Yeah, so you can get on catch BBC.
Now, when you watch it on the TV.
Yeah. BBC.
Do you sit really close to the TV? Do you sit a little bit back from the TV?
Or are you
150 metres away from the TV?
Well, what's motivating the question first, and I'll tell you.
Just curiosity. When you watch TV, do you sit right close to the TV,
back a little bit, like
or 150 metres away from the TV? How close are you to the TV?
I'd say, as I'm speaking now, I'd say about 7 feet, 2 yards.
Okay. Okay.
Well, why?
I'm just curious.
Can I paint the picture?
Just curious.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's
okay.
All it is. It's curiosity.
Yeah. And the third one, I don't know whether everybody's seen Chernobyl.
Well, you've got to be careful when you watch that, otherwise Chernobyl fall off.
Mm. No, I don't. Again, from the get-go, absolutely top. Have you seen the series?
No, I don't. I didn't want my Chernobyl fall off. Doesn't quite work like that, does it?
Well, you don't. It is really excellent. So there you go.
Keith, nice to talk to you, mate. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Thanks a lot. Cheers, Keith. Thank you. Let's go to Christina. Good evening, Christina.
Hi, Ed. Hi, Kath.
Are you on speakerphone?
No, everyone.
Hang on. Are you on speakerphone? No, hang on.
No, I'm not.
Hello, Christina. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, a bit upset, though, because we've been on speakerphone. I'm whispering in the bathroom.
Are you being held prisoner? Is there someone in your house? Do you want us to call the authorities for you?
Would you mind?
Not a problem at all. But while we're waiting for the police to turn up, what have you called? Sorry?
Nothing.
What are you sucking now?
Sorry, mate, what? Oh,
not you! Talking about...
No. I was kissing my teeth.
Oh, no. Oh, not against me.
Not about you.
I was calling about the lady on the GoFundMe page.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm the person that I get friends to ask me for money for.
You say that? It's very muffled, Christina. Go on, say it again.
Oh, sorry, hang on. Let me turn it. Sorry, what's it?
What? Did you go back on speakerphone? Hello?
Is that better?
That's better, yes.
Oh, there we go. The volume of my phone was turned down, but I've still got a whisper.
Don't quite know what that's got to do with it, but... Okay, so go on. You're the person who does what now?
So I have friends that ask me for money to send their kids on school trips and stuff.
Okay.
So they don't set up a GoFundMe page, they just ask me for it.
Okay, and how, well, how do you feel about that?
Well, at the time I liked it, but now I realise I've been a bit of a div.
Well, it depends. How many times have you paid out?
Well, quite often.
Well, then you're a bit of a div.
Exactly. I think I've just called up to tell you I'm a bit of a div.
Well,
I think you realise that anyway.
Hey, listen, you help friends out, that's cool. And if you're helping friends' kids out, that's double cool. But if the same friend is coming, you know, how many times would one person come to you? 4 times? 5 times?
Oh, no, 3 strikes, you're out.
See what?
3 strikes and you're out.
3 strikes and you're out. That's the okay. Well, you've got a system. You've got a system in place. Everyone's got to have a system.
Yes, I know, but there's about 8 people that I fight with.
Hang on, so 3 times 8. My God, that's 42 strikes.
Yeah. Not very smart, am I?
Well, you know, maybe you're just a kind person. Maybe you're just a kind person.
Yeah, I am, but it's not getting me very far.
Where do you want kindness to get you?
I think there's a good place that you go to where all your points are added up and...
Yeah, it's called Tesco Club Card. As my boy would say, it was quick but not very funny. He made me laugh with that. Yeah, it's quick, Daddy, but not very funny. Listen, being kind is not meant to take you anywhere.
No, I know. That's why I keep doing it. I just think something better, something good is going to come from me being kind. I found my old school book from when I left in 2001. I've just been reading it through.
Well.
And all the messages just say how kind and funny I was. I've still got that.
Well, then there you go. That's a beautiful thing to, not the book necessarily, but the sentiment is a beautiful thing to carry around with you.
Yeah. I really want to come to your rabbit hole with the my cousin did this thing. I'm getting Pet Shop Boys the day after, and I would never get overexcited seeing you, so... Well,
can you not... Is the Pet Shop Boys banned people from coming to see our rabbit hole shows again, Catherine?
Yeah.
Absolute Tennant and the hat-wearing guy are scumbags!
It's because the acts are too close.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
You can still come, can't you?
Yeah, I'll try.
All right.
No, I just think I'll get overexcited meeting you and Cass.
We are very, very exciting people to meet. Yeah. Very exciting people.
We kick off like this excitement aroma thing.
It's pheromones.
Yeah, people get really...
You called me a bumlicker the other day.
You are a bumlick.
Am I?
No, I'm joking. I don't remember. It's a term of endearment.
No, on your Twitch. I said Kath looked beautiful and you said I was
bumlick.
That's a standard response to anyone being nice to me.
Here's the thing. Everything I say is a lie, including that.
Oh.
Which door are you going to go through?
What would he say?
You're not a bumlick. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know.
I like being told I look beautiful.
Cass likes having a bum.
I do, turns out.
It's nice to be nice, isn't it?
I think so.
It's nice to be nice, as my mother would say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I wanted to say, I love David Bowie. I know you love the monkeys. And
here's the thing, I was in the charity shop today, and I saw 5 David Bowie CDs, and I thought, I might buy them, because I haven't got any. Then I thought, I don't like him.
You haven't got any because you didn't like him?
I was going to say it because of David Jones for the monkeys. That's the only reason why David had to change his name to Bowie.
That is true, David Jones, he had to change his name. Yeah, that's the reason he changed it. All right, Christina, nice to talk to you. Don't take anything I say too seriously, will you?
No, I won't.
All right, cheers, my dears. Tatty bye. 0344.
We never found out why she was locked in the bathroom.
Nope, we didn't, did we? Let's go to Liam. Good evening, Liam.
Hello.
Hello, Liam.
Hello. Yeah, last time I called you up, I was rambling on a bit, so I'm going to try not to do that this time.
Away you go.
I was just recently watching your video. It was from November 2017, is the behind-the-scenes documentary of you at Talk Radio.
I remember it very, very well.
And the main thing I was interested about watching that was the relationship between you and the Talk Sport guys.
Scumbags.
I
know you're not, thick scumbags.
Yeah, I know you're not a football man.
Ignorant monkeys.
Yourself. Yes, I was just wondering how the dynamic is between you and those guys, because...
Well, now it's great because they're on a different floor to us, so I never have to see those thick knuckle draggers.
Yeah.
But what we used to do when we wanted to get through, because the kitchen was through Talk Sport, and sometimes you just couldn't get by because they were like throwing balls and giving each other nuggies and stuff.
And the pornography on the floor.
So what we would do is we would throw a book in there and they would all scatter. And then we could get through.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it really that bad just because you don't like football?
No, it's because they were thick, they were ignorant. They had no brain cells between them. They were scum.
I mean, I know you're not a sport fan yourself, but not everyone that is into sports is from that way. You can be into intellectual stuff.
Are you into sports?
To a certain extent.
Tell me something intellectual.
I mean, I wouldn't know. I'm not saying that football is intellectual. Itself.
No, but you're kind of proving your own point. You've said that sports fans can be intellectual. You're a sports fan. Give me something intellectual.
No, I'm saying they can be. I'm not. I'm actually really stupid.
Come on, Liam.
I'm just saying it's possible. I'm actually one of the really stupid ones, but it's possible that you could be both.
Matt Letizia's read a book, hasn't he?
Listen, I'm teasing you, Liam. You're a very good sport. Yeah. Don't put yourself down. Of course you can have intellectual sports fans. Of course you can.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, but, I mean, personally, I think a lot of it is, it's kind of like regional pride, if you're not a glory hunter. Like, for me, it's like being Aston Villa supporter. You speak to people from other parts of the country, it's just like being, when you speak to some, like, I'm a Villa fan, I speak to a Sheffield United fan, and it's just part of your local identity, really, to me.
It's tribalism.
Yeah, it is pretty much, I don't take it too far because it means nothing at the end of the day, but it is an enjoyable thing as part of your local identity.
Do you fancy a rumble?
It depends who you support. Are you a Birmingham City fan? Because if you are, I'll do you, but...
Oh.
All right, yeah, I'm a Birmingham... I'm going to say it. I'm a Birmingham football fan, and I will rumble you.
What does doing one involve these days?
I'm hoping it's what I think it means, but...
It depends what Ian wants, really. It can go either way.
I want to rumble, mate. I want to rumble you.
Yeah, I'll be waiting outside, like, the back of New Street Station at 7 o'clock in the morning, so...
Tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
I'll be there, mate. You going to be there or not? I bet you don't turn up. I bet you chicken it.
Yeah, well, it depends what you...
He's gone. Put the phone down. Tracy rang to say you're out of order with the last caller. She didn't want to come on live, just wanted to say that. Here's the thing, and you're new here, don't pass messages on, because it's not a messaging service. People will start thinking, I'm not having a go, but people will start thinking, if people want to phone up and have a go at the show, come on here, don't phone up and pass messages to my team, please.
Which bit was out of order with Christine?
Maybe the bit where we spoke to her with empathy. I don't know. But thanks, Tracy, for your call, but it's not how it works here. 0344-499-1000. We've got another Liam coming up after this.
The Late Night Alternative with that man, Ian. There's no strangers here, just friends you haven't stalked on Facebook yet.
Have never sent my picture to anyone who didn't request it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes.
0344-499-1000. This is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, why wouldn't that? I've still got that failure open. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît, monsieur.
Alexa, turn off.
Tracy's called back. Good evening, Tracy.
Sorry, I didn't put the phone down.
Okay. Well, you're on the air now. What can we do for you?
I was just, like, the last caller that came in before last was a mum who's struggling really badly over the summer holidays. That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, you're completely wrong, but carry on.
Oh, sorry, then I did get it wrong. But I'm struggling over the summer holidays.
I'm sorry to hear that, but we've not had a mum on who's been struggling over the summer holidays.
Oh, then I must have got it wrong. I will apologise then.
Okay. Well, how are you struggling? Wait. Tell me about it.
I have two sons. One who's, like, really good, and the other one's got ADHD. He's also autistic. Tonight, the only reason that I've had a few drinks is because he's not here.
Right.
The summer holidays are a really long, hard slog.
Yeah.
And, no, I listened to you saying that you've taken your kids on holiday, and I thought you were taking the mickey out of someone.
No, you misheard. I was talking. No, not at all. You did miss here, Tracy. I'm happy to explain. There was someone tweeted while I was away, asking for 300 quid to help them get through summer with their kid to buy essentials because they were struggling. And I was saying that I was in a very privileged position and that I was happy to chuck a few quid their way and that there is no shame in asking for help. And I was thrilled that when I went back a couple of days later and I saw that I think something like £370, £70 over their total had been raised.
Then I must admit, then I do apologise.
That's all right.
I was wrong. It's just been a real, like, hard, old slog.
Yes.
And he's still got a bloody month to go.
I know. Listen, I had a week with the kids and I was exhausted at the end of that. And, I've got a few weekends coming up and they're with their mum in between them. And, I get it. It's hard work. You've got, you know, I'm bored and you don't, you know, you want to do the best for your kids and it's everything. Costs a fortune, man.
Tell me about it.
It's outrageous.
Then I am really sorry.
You got nothing to apologise for.
I got the wrong end of the wrong end of the stick.
Put the stick down.
It was just, like I said, it is just so hard. Being a single parent is really bloody difficult.
Yeah, of course it is. Put the stick down. Everything is peace and love here. We're all good. And all I can do, Tracy, is wish you the very best of luck. And I know that you'll do your best to get through it.
I'll be all right. Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Of course you will.
Not after money. You're all right. I'm just saying it's bloody difficult.
Yeah. But you'll get there. You sound like a good woman, and I'm sure you're going to do the very best that you can for your kids. All right, Tracy. Thanks for calling back. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Thank you very much, and thank you for listening.
Tutty bye. See you later on. Good luck. There we go, you see. There we go. So you deal. That's a situation. It's tough. I get it. Everything is so expensive. Here's the thing. I totally get that I'm in a privileged position. And my boys are starting to get, at the ages of 7 and 9, that they're in a privileged position, which is great. Because I didn't have money when I grew up. My parents were poor. And then we kind of did all right through houses and, you know, stuff. The other side of the family, they've always done, been comfortable, shall we say. And I want my boys to appreciate how fickle this all is and how with just a bit of bad luck and a bad decision here or there, we could be skint. It could happen, and that they're in a really lucky position, and that they should take nothing for granted. I don't come too heavy on them. They're kids, but they're aware of it now. They're starting to be made aware of it, and I think that is very, very important. I'm glad we sorted that out, Tracy. Good evening, James.
Good evening.
Ooh, that was a very swift move from, I know you've been waiting a while, but
how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. I haven't spoken to you for a long time. The last time I spoke to you, you were on, I'll say quietly, Absolute Radio.
Flipping heck, man. That was with ages ago.
Eloise, I know.
That was that was about 8 years ago.
I know.
What did we talk about? Remind me what we talked about.
Do you know what? I can't.
Some nonsense.
It was kind of off the cuff, sort of,
spontaneous, dangerous, little bit blue, but fun. Ian Lee. Yeah, there you go, you see, that's the act summed up.
But yeah, I just thought I'd ring in and, wish Catherine a belated happy birthday to you.
Her birthday is over, James! It finished 50 minutes ago!
He said belated, and I accept that.
But
thank
we don't,
you.
The happy belated birthday isn't a thing!
It is.
8 years this guy hasn't phoned me up for, and he phones up not to talk to me, to flirt with you!
I like that.
Jeez.
Hi, Kath.
Hi.
Straight into it. It's shocking.
Here's the thing, right? He hasn't phoned you for 8 years.
Yeah.
And my birthday brings the boys to the yard. Accept it.
You're outrageous.
Do you know what I've not had today, James?
Go on.
Birthday cake.
Oh.
No one did it. You know why? Because I'm the birthday cake provider. But no one remembers the cakey.
No one provides for you. Oh, that's really sad.
I was going to get you one. I couldn't be bothered.
Exactly. That's what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
Kath, I loved you last week.
Thank you.
Loved it. I think, Ian, if you wanted a bit...
You're so jealous. Why can't you just let nice things happen?
Catherine's on the radio. Catherine's on the radio.
Why can't you just let nice things happen for me?
James, are you about to say if I want to take more time off, I should?
I was about to say...
Thanks very much for your call, James. Hopefully speak to you in another 8 years when you've changed your attitude a bit. Let's try Liam. Singer Liam.
Yeah, the other Liam.
Singer Liam rang me up last week as well.
Okay, that's fine. I don't mind.
And he sent me his first ever tweet.
Did he?
Yeah. I did send you my first ever tweet, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd had that account since 2015, and then my first ever tweet was for you. I think my second ever tweet was for Ian.
Thank you, man.
Second place.
Yeah.
Third
ever tweet was for the This Country guys, you know, that sitcom on BBC Three.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I like them.
I've not watched it. I've heard good things about it, but I don't really... TV doesn't float my boat anymore, really. It's,
Yeah, fair play.
It's just, I don't know what does float my boat. I tell you what floats my boat is watching Limmy on Twitch. That's what.
Limmy is the best ever, but his old TV show, man, like, all of his TV shows.
It's funny.
Some of the best ever, man.
He is good, and he is obscene, and he's a very, very naughty man. Have you read his autobiography?
I haven't, no.
Get it, man, get it, or get the audiobook if you can. It's a work of art.
Awesome. He's brilliant. I mean, like all his little videos on that. Today I just discovered a new show called In the Thick of It.
Now, I never watched In the Thick of It. Now, the first series we're not allowed to watch anymore because it's got that naughty man in it who did naughty things.
That's what my friend told me today. He's like, oh, I can't even watch that anymore. I didn't know that.
But I think he goes after, like, the second series. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, so I watched up until the third series. He goes in the second series.
He goes in the second series. You know what I'm talking about, Kath.
Yeah.
Can't think of his name.
Chris Langham.
There we go.
Yeah, Chris Langham. Did you enjoy it? Because I've never really watched it.
I think it's one of my favourite comedy shows I've ever seen. I've always liked Armando Iannucci.
Oh, he's great. Time Trumpet's good.
Oh, my days, man. Time Trumpet's probably my favourite.
Time Trumpet's wicked.
Like, best show ever, man.
Time Trumpet, am I right? Is that, it's one of those talking head shows, but it's set in sort of 2050 or something, and they look back to now.
It's like 4 years ahead of the noughties.
Yeah.
But, like,
and Better Old Men.
Old Men, yeah, that's a good show.
David Beckham with a thing on his
So was the Friday, I remember the Friday Night Armistice as well, that was a good show, I used to like that.
I just read about that today, I've not seen that yet.
Yeah, but I don't know, because that was kind of more topical, so I don't know how well that would stand up, but he's good, Iannucci, he's one of the best.
Brilliant.
Liam, listen, I have to go because we're getting towards the end of the show. Give us a call tomorrow. Let's get George in. Paul, you come in while we speak to George. Good evening, George.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, George.
Paul.
We haven't got much time. What have you got for us?
I did a little pilgrimage on Friday. I was going to that Peter Cook show. And
yes, he was the guy that plays Dudley Moore was on Bob Mills last night.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
I was expecting
you to phone up and tell a story.
Well, I did a pilgrimage. I went to the mews we used to live in the afternoon.
Beautiful.
And it reminded me of a story that I've never told about Peter. My most embarrassing thing I ever saw him do.
Oh, go on.
I was walking into the mews and he was walking out of the mews. And there was a Rolls Royce, open top Rolls Royce, was parked at the front of the mews, blocking the mews. And Peter picked up a dustbin and threw all of the contents of the dustbin into the back of the Rolls Royce and just strode off into the high street.
Maybe not one of his funniest gags. I mean, you know, he's hit and miss, perhaps. That's a bit of a mean thing to do.
But the play itself, I walked out at the interval. I didn't laugh.
Oh, really? Really? You surprised me.
Well, I didn't laugh once in the first half of
it. You didn't laugh? You surprised me.
Yeah, well, I surprised you. But the second half might have been...
I can't believe it. You didn't laugh once?
Not once, no.
I can't believe that. You surprised me.
Well, I'm here to surprise. I've dropped my sobriquet of being an apprentice prophet, by the way. From now on, I want to be...
Professional bullshiner.
...known as the wandering Jew.
Okay, so, well, we'll say goodbye to the wandering Jew now, because...
Is he wandering or wandering or wandering?
Wandering or wandering?
Wandering.
Okay, again, we don't quite know. He's either thinking or moving. Thank you, George.
And by the way, belated happy birthday to you.
Yay!
Squashed tomato
count?
And stew.
It does.
You look like a monkey and smell like one too.
It doesn't count. Birthday's gone, mate. It's done.
Also, I saw some appalling things at Monkey World, so I'm actually shocked.
Well, you saw a monkey suck its penis.
Yes.
In front, he was looking at you,
yes.
And then
he
it got...
trying to intimidate me.
That's our first item on the show. You've preempted us.
Honestly, we went to Monkey World, and he looked at Kath.
He started jumping up and down, then he got his willy out, and then it...
And then he bent down and...
And he phoned in earlier on tonight to flirt with you. Hey?
5821, Paul, what have you got for us?
We are talking to a brilliant entrepreneur from Canada. He's a man who works with iceberg cowboys. He's based in Newfoundland, and what they do is, when the ice shears off the glaciers in Greenland, goes into the Atlantic, they go and harvest it, okay, and it's water that was frozen 15,000 years ago. They're bottling it. It's been available in London before, not at the moment. If I was any kind of entrepreneur or indeed venture capitalist, I'd be behind this all the way. A pound for a half a litre bottle, and it's guaranteed ice age water.
What, to drink?
To drink.
Are they not, like, examining it to see what life
There's
was like?
There's nothing in it. It's absolutely pure. All it contains is pure water.
That doesn't feel right.
Inside an iceberg, minus 20 degrees Celsius. And what they're doing is they're not shattering the ice thing. They're, in fact, there's an environmental benefit, because normally that would melt in the Atlantic and raise the sea levels. So we're talking about that. And we've also got a great author on. He's an award-winning travel writer. Got a new book out called Hit Factories. Very much, I think, in your choose, bailiwick, nay, indeed, parish. Because he's been right around the UK, mainly by bus, visiting and giving us the history of all those great musical cities. Your Bristol, your Sheffield, your Birmingham, Coventry. So he's on the show.
All of that is coming up next. This is Talk Radio.
We are Talk Radio.